you are one of us. Your passion is the world of mountain biking, from enduro to gravel races and everything in between. This is Insider MTB, the podcast that takes you behind the handlebars, into the dirt, and behind the scenes of the mountain biking world. And now your host, Austin White.
Episode 10 with Spencer's favorite intro. Like, I've made that intro just for... Oh, and it's going again.
You are one of...
Top-notch production over here. Top-notch.
10 episodes in and nothing's changed. But I'm back. That's one thing.
Yeah, you're back. I know. It's fucking good, right? Yeah. After your stint of being a jet ski professional now, right?
Yeah. It's not over, but we're here.
It's not over. Yeah. Talk about it a little bit, though, huh? Like, what? First off, two wheels to jet ski, like, pretty wild.
Sorry. I've been gone. I apologize to all the listeners. I have been busy. I'm trying to set up a little life after this whole biking situation. So, trying to work my way into the stunt community a little bit. And with that, I auditioned for a show at Universal Studios called Waterworld, which is the longest running live action stunt show. It's basically theater of some sort. It's been going for 29 years, and it's the most popular attraction at all Universal theme parks. And it's based off of an old movie from 1995. It's like considered the sequel to the movie. And
it's a fucking... I like the movie.
It's an interesting one. I didn't even know it was a thing until I auditioned for this, and then I went back and watched it. And it's a show, man. It's gnarly. It's 20 minutes or 18 minutes of runtime, and I'm pretty much running around for most of that. So it's riding jet skis, fighting, flipping off stuff. I'm Kevin Costner. I'm the main guy, Mariner, in the show, and it's fun. But now life should be getting back to normal. I'm working a little bit there, here and there, but
I figured we just ruined you so much after Sea Otter on your fucking crazy ride. I guess we haven't even really downloaded and even talked about that much, right? Like, did we like talk about you pretty much going through the pain cave for what was it, 4 straight days? 5?
Yeah, that was interesting. And honestly, if you haven't watched the video, go watch it. It's pretty good.
On YouTube right now. Spencer Rathkamp. Google it.
Exactly. It's pretty entertaining. It was fun. It was a good experience overall. I think I learned a lot and rode one bike a lot. And
and you rode a lot.
I think we could do better.
I think the guy who filmed it just fucking sucked. No, like, he could have got more out of you know?
I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit, but out of performance wise, I can do better, but it was fun. It was super sick. Raced 4 disciplines on one bike, and a bunch of people on YouTube are like, oh, they're all the same course. It's not like you're even actually racing downhill. And I'm like, oh, man. I mean, that's kind of why we're riding the Epic Evo for all this stuff. But
yeah
it was fun. It was super good.
You lived, right? And then you gave yourself asthma with it, pretty much. But what were you saying? I was asking you about that.
Oh, yeah. I just have athletic-induced asthma. So after I do hard efforts, I'm sitting there like I'll have to clear my throat and cough every
30 seconds.
Or,
so
yeah,
it's
whatever.
Perfect when you're trying to do an interview with someone.
Trying to do a wrap-up, and I'm just like,
yeah, didn't even eat. You were dying.
Such is life, man. Such is life.
You live, dude. I mean, I think it was a pretty cool little experience, right?
Yeah, 100%. It was fun. Yeah. I want to do it better next year. So
yeah,
I'm here for it, man.
What would you change, I think, next year, though? Like, I feel like you've learned a lot from it now. What would we go about?
I think just preparation, honestly. I think I went into it pretty like, what happens, happens. And I think, I could get on it a little more, on it a little earlier.
Yeah, then on the climb of the fucking first XC, you were like, I'm fucking done.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, I don't know,
Dude, you guys came out with a blistering pace, though, right out the gate.
Not me, dude. I got left in the dust right out the gate.
Hey, you thought you were left in the dust. I was passing the guys on the e-bike where they were further back than you, just getting fucking... They were like, why is this dude with a backpack and a camera running past me?
I know, that was pretty epic, right on the pavement up there.
Yeah. It was a good time, dude.
Next to me, and I'm just sitting there like, oh, dude, this sucks already.
Dude, honestly, for a minute there, this pace you guys were going up that thing, I was like, I'm not going to catch them. I'm fucked. Like, they are fucking pulling away from me.
Yeah. bunch of grams.
Yeah. Yeah. Some random other camera guy who didn't have an e-bike was actually beating me for a minute. And I was like, what the fuck? This dude's grinding. Yeah. Yeah. And then
cross country world, baby. Speaking turbo. Of that, we got two probably the most fit people in the endurance world coming on the pod today.
Right.
Which is pretty sick, pretty exciting.
Yeah. Just so you guys listeners know, I'm not going to tease you too much, but 115 Tobin comes on and 145 Keegan comes on.
Tobin, come on. Give him the full names.
Oh, dude, I can't even say his last name. I fucking McTubbins. That's what I call him. McTubbins. McTubbins. All right, if you guys haven't figured out, this is episode 10 and I still suck at English. I'm getting there. One day I'll be able to fucking speak all English. Spencer is my younger brother that corrects me like an older brother on everything I say. I can't even 5 minutes ago when I was like, hey, you gonna fucking make it? And he was like, is that even a question?
McTubbin is his Instagram name, dude.
It's his real name. He's gonna get it. It's his real name.
It's not Ortenblad.
Yeah, you're right.
That's his last name, isn't it?
Yeah, Ortenblad. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if someone says it, I can agree with it and know what it is, but I can't say it myself. Yeah, just like if I'm looking at it right now, Ortenblad. Ah, but fucking, I love those guys. I've done a few video.
Keegan Swenson.
And Keegan Swenson. I can say that one.
Thank you.
I can say that one. Yeah. And then my fucked up Photoshop job that I had to redo like six times. You caught the one little misair with the time. I did the date was wrong and I had the date wrong. And then I was like, fuck, dude. I just fucking need to sign up and. I mean, I need to just retire my Photoshop skills or something.
We got too much going on right now. It's all right.
We do. But we're getting there, right?
Yeah.
That's yeah. Right. What's up for you next, though?
Oh, man, I don't really know. To be totally honest, I was supposed to go to the Mega Avalanche to race that in France, and then I just got the old postpone, cancel it yesterday, which is a bit of a bummer. So I think we're going to pivot and do some other little projects and race. I'm probably gonna pivot and do Downeyville, and I believe both the boys coming on are gonna do Downeyville. Yeah, I gotta get my fit game back on here for the next months. I got like a month to train for that.
But I was gonna say, you got time?
Yeah, no, but whatever. It's gonna be fun and
Epic Evo for that one then?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Okay,
and both the guys coming on absolutely smashed it last year, so I'll try to keep them.
Maybe we get some inside info or whatever on how to just fucking crank it out.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, all is well, and we're swinging, and the bike industry's in a hell of a flux right now. But the
it's weird because I feel like Otter, everyone had smiles on, and it was great.
Yeah.
But now kind of like now it's over and it's like, fuck, is it though? I don't know. You know, like it's getting there, but it isn't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like it's just returning to the core. There isn't as much excitement from all these newbies coming in like there were the last 2 years or whatever since COVID. And then, and now it's like, okay, let the bubble kind of pop and get back to the people that actually care about it. So It's weird, but I feel like it's not just mountain bike. It's all action sports in particular, like the super extracurricular activities for most people are getting cut out again now that prices for everything keep going up and inflation's crazy and you gotta.
All I heard there was less people maintaining my trail. That's all I heard.
Yeah, well, that's never been a positive. We've never had too many people maintaining trails. I know. Grass is growing out here, baby, and the mustard is ridiculous here in Southern California. But yeah, I've been doing a bit of trail work, so we're just
Doesn't it feel like, I don't know about you, but like over on that side, but for me over here, it's like the grass didn't grow, but like the thicker bush grew, whatever it is.
Mustard.
Okay, the mustard is like, and it's fucked up. It'll like take you down if you roll into that shit a little bit wrong.
Yeah, we had a lot of grass early in the season, and then the grass died, and the mustard plant started to say what's up, and it's everywhere. And yeah, it's a pain. And then we got those little spiky plants too. I forget what they're called, like stinging nettle or something like that.
Stinging nettle.
Nettle.
Oh, I thought you said metal. I was like, damn.
Stinging nettle is what I believe what the plant is called. But yeah, it's everywhere. But hey,
it's fucked up. It's fucked up.
It's life. It's just what we got to do,
it's
man.
Life. I don't fucking like it. I
don't either, but we got it. Nobody else is going to clear it. So if you're listening, freaking help out your local trails, please.
I'm going to fire up the Suron out here and fucking get it going.
Might as well. Just put some blades on the side of that thing. Just
slip right through it. Yeah.
That honestly would be a pretty sweet idea.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But I don't think it's going to fucking work. It's not
going
to work.
Yeah. But the mountain bike world is going. We had Hardline a couple weeks ago, and we got World Cups are swinging. And
yeah, how about, hold on, Team USA, we got two.
That's where I was going also. Okay. That was where I was going next. We got two.
Yeah.
How about it? We had old Christopher on the pod, and we were...
We tried to have RJ, but I fucked it up.
Yep, nothing new.
Thanks.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm totally the sport, man. I need it. No, but that is, it's insane though that we got two, and then Sevilla, and then who else is also going on the women's side? Was it Kate or who did they pick? I can't remember. I should look it up, right? Damn, I suck at that. Yep. I mean, I'm top notch news over here.
But no, it's pretty sick. We got what we're talking about right now is the Olympic roster was just announced. And we US is confirmed to have two male positions and
we got Haley, our other person.
Oh yeah, Haley Batten.
Yeah, what am I thinking right now? Sorry. Fuck, yeah. I am so sorry, Haley. Goodness. She's totally watching right now and is live and is gonna fucking blow me out in a text message after this.
Yeah, as she should. Yeah. As she should.
She should. That was embarrassing. Yeah,
I've been riding jet skis. That's my excuse for not doing so.
I don't have an excuse. I was watching it. I literally seen the announcement. I literally texted someone from USA Cycling and was like, yo, we got to get you on. I think we need to do one maybe with them or with USA Cycling, just talking about this, because it's been at least 10, maybe 20 years since we've sent double to the Olympics. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. It's pretty sweet.
Double, and we're guaranteed double the next year because it's coming to us.
To US. Yeah.
Yeah.
LA.
Yeah. LA. Us, like me and you, dude, we're going to be crushing it. But think of the content we could do for that.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome. I'm excited for it, and I'm excited for the crew that's getting an opportunity this year. Paris Olympics are going to be.
It does look pretty good though. Blevins and fucking RJ. RJ, it's been looking pretty good too.
Hey, they're both ripping. Yeah, and on the women's side, like Haley's been absolutely smashing it, and Sylvia too. It's cool. It's super sick, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Could be a change up, is all I'm saying. We could maybe walk away with something like a medal.
Yeah.
Preferably gold, but we'll take any flavor of them.
Hey, man.
We're not picky.
Just here to support.
All right. Well, should I text Tobin and see where the fuck he's at? He's taking forever over here.
That's okay. He's still a minute early, so he's got
1 minute. Yeah.
But then we had Hardline went off. They had tried to put a massive jump in that I'm sure you saw, and it didn't work. I mean,
would you hit that?
Absolutely not, dude. Are you kidding me? That was crazy. When I first saw the videos of it, and I think Sam Reynolds was also making comments on it, but it was like, this thing looks like a kicky jump for how big this thing is. And then the first second video that you saw was a guy just soaring without his bike because he got kicked off the front of that thing. And that thing was gnarly, man. They're so lucky that it was all good. But
they didn't die.
Yeah.
Totally.
And they ended up removing it. But it was a good event otherwise.
Yeah. I would be happy to have that thing removed.
That jump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be in for that.
They had some pretty cool marketing stuff to go along with it with Johnny Walker trying to see if he could be faster than a mountain bike down it. On a dirt
bike. Which is pretty cool.
You saw that. Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Yeah. Tobin's here. Yeah. I'm going to add him in.
Let's go.
Yeah, because I feel like he could talk about this too.
Maybe he can.
What up, Tobin? As he's frozen.
What's up? How's this working?
What's happening?
We went over it last night, but does it sound good?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to be okay. We're going to be good.
All right.
I don't know. How does it sound on your end?
Sounds great, but I'm not the one recording it.
Yeah. You have purely the best audio I've ever heard probably right now.
Excellent.
Yo, we're talking about Red Bull Hardline and that fucking jump. Would you have done it?
Probably, you know.
Probably.
Being a gravel racer and all, that's right up my alley.
On the ground.
Right up your alley.
Stop.
That would have been a perfect jump for you.
It seemed like you just kind of coasted into it, right? It wasn't too lippy or anything.
No, it seemed to work. That's why they
consequence too well. Whatsoever. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad they pulled that out. Like, it was, someone was going to die on that. I don't know.
Someone did die, pretty much.
Yeah, that guy just went, I don't actually know how messed up he got, but he went straight to his head. Like, you just saw him slap. Like, does anyone know what actually came of that crash?
He was fine.
Other than a little dirt
nap. Yeah.
A concussion or something.
Yeah, that's subjectively fine or whatever, but
none of that makes sense.
No broken bones or anything.
Brutal.
But he just went to sleep for a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah, he fucking went to sleep, that's for sure. He definitely went to sleep. All right, dude, let's give you an actual proper intro. I'm going to fuck up your last name, but Tobin.
just sound it out. You'll be fine.
Orton Blad. Yeah, I suck. My English sucks. McTubbins. Let's fucking just stick to McTubbins.
McTubbins easy.
Yeah, McTubbins is easy. World champion, right?
Yeah, world champion. Yeah. Single speed cyclocross world champion.
Let's go. Something's, you got the tat?
Yeah,
I have the tattoo.
What?
What was it?
You guys want to see it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
It's on my, I don't know. I'm going to have to stand on a cool chair. <It's down> on...
For all the people that aren't watching us live, it's not that one.
It's my shorts are all too right. tight. It's
shorts
that
are
one.
Too big. Shorts are too tight.
Quads are too big.
Yeah, wow, dude. Save some for the rest of us, mate.
Sorry, Austin. I don't know if you know this, but if you win single speed world champs, you have to get a tattoo.
Yeah,
really?
That's kind of the thing. Yeah.
Exactly. What?
It's a little underground. It's not so official, but yeah.
I had no idea on this. How many years has that been going?
Ground. It's been going for, man, it's been more than, maybe it's 15, 20 years. Maybe it's got to be more than 20, maybe.
Getting the tat.
Yeah, so if you win the race, I mean, it's single speeds, right? It's not like, this isn't a UCI title, everyone. It's still important, though. So if you win, there's usually like predetermined tattoos. If you win, you have to get it. And if you don't want a tattoo, just you can make it obvious you would have crushed, but sit up at the line and get second place then.
What?
Yeah, I remember one year in San Francisco, two like professional cross racers went and they dominated and they didn't get the tattoo and they were like unofficially never allowed back.
What?
They can never come back and race. Yeah. So,
no way.
Yeah, you have to, like, you definitely, if you want to win, you got to want the tattoo. And last year, there's probably a group of, like, pretty legit cross racers that did actually want to get the tattoo. So it was a pretty proper race. I'm actually, Lance Haidt would have probably beat me, maybe, but he got tackled in a pool. There's this pool we had to run through, and I think someone tackled him. And then I passed him, and then it was one lap to go, so I just held on.
I seen that pool section. It looked fucking gnarly.
Dude, it was so janky. And like, I knew that. So if everyone hadn't seen it, it was just a pool made out of plywood and 2x4s. I mean, it was legit, but it was probably like waist deep and it had a ramp into it and then into the pool. And then there's a ramp out of the pool, but no one was riding it. We were just running. And I had been up at the property where the race was and I saw it before it was filled and I saw there's a ramp to get out of it. I'm like, dude, bike shoes on wet plywood are going to be like kind of sketchy. So I took sheet metal screws and like screwed them into my sole. So at least I'd have some bite on it, which is across like we used to do it when we race in the ice, but I think they put like stall mat on it, like for horses or something. So it wasn't so slippery, but yeah. There were some shenanigans in there, and Lance got, and then
Lance got, I was, got.
Like, they were definitely going for me too. It was actually Chris Blevins was the one like messing with people. Really? But for the first time ever in my cycling career, like my weight finally paid dividends. Being a big dog helped out.
You never hear something like that, right?
No, ever.
That's wild. Yeah, I was watching the videos and like the content from that. I remember like whoever was leading it when they first came into that, they fucking obliterated that person.
Yeah.
And it was fucked up.
Yeah. So like I passed and it was right before the finish line. So I passed and I was like, man, I was I've been racing so hard, I haven't even looked at how many laps we have to go. So I passed Lance in the pool, went to the finish line, and they're like, one to go. And I was like, dude, I got this now. But then I had to go to the pool one more time. And I was like, the people that tackled Lance know that they might have just cost him the race. So I'm like, they're going to try to tackle me now to even it out. And they did. And yeah, I just pushed hard and like got away from him.
No way. That's fucking gnarly, dude.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Wow. UCI is going to sanction it next year after that. And
absolutely not.
Probably. A little bit less fucking fighting. A little more pool section.
If it's a moneymaker, the UCI is coming for it.
It's a moneymaker. UCI is coming for it. All right. Well, then how is your feeling on UCI then? I guess we'll just get right into that.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. It's fine, I guess. Like, I'm not racing so much of those races anymore, so I have less opinions. But some of the rules for cross and stuff are just kind of, like, old and whatnot. I don't know. I'm not close enough to it anymore to have strong opinions, to be totally honest. Like, yeah, I guess when I was racing cross, I thought some of it was kind of silly. Like, there's a tire width restriction for cyclocross. You can't go wider than 33 millimeters, which in a way was to kind of like combat the rich teams having fleets of wheels. So we race tubular wheels. So that means the tire glues to the rim. You don't just switch it. It's glued onto the rim. The tire
I didn't know that.
Has a tube shoved into it, and then the sidewalls are caught and they stitch it shut around the tube. So you can inflate the thing and it's like a pool noodle. And you glue it onto a rim, and the rim is like, you know, it's concave. So you just glue it onto that concave surface.
And it's a process. It doesn't just happen and you go ride. It takes like
exactly
a full
it
day.
Takes like,
oh,
yeah,
really?
It takes a while.
2 days. Maybe,
and it's old school, but it's still still the best for cyclocross. So the point here is you can only run 33s, and like the mega rich Euro teams would have, you know, like a box truck full of 35 mils, 33 mils, 31 mils, all the tires, different sizes, and then you need a ton of different wheel sets. So I think they made the rule to kind of combat the financial advantage like some of the big teams would have, showing up with like a fleet of wheels.
Well, that makes sense then.
Nowadays though, I'm just like, you get back on a cross bike on 33s and you're like, this is not a bigger tire than we ride on road bikes, hardly. Like, it's just kind of silly.
Is that rule still in place or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, still.
Yeah. I should know this. So, I broadcast the fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so yeah, 33s. And then if it's a USA cycling race, it's like 35 mil or it's slightly bigger, but.
So yeah, are you, okay. And then that leads me to my next one. You are full-time gravel then now, or are you still kind of just hit some of those?
It's kind of all over. Like, I really
full-time lifetime.
Yeah. Full-time lifetime.
No lifetime for me. So I'm not even in the series.
Oh, you're not. Okay. I didn't know.
No. Yeah. Like,
and was that your choice or their choice?
Dude, I actually did apply. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I applied.
And they were like, no.
Like,
how does that work?
Oh, so I like applied, put time in my application. The year I wasn't in it, I like had some decent results. I was like top five in the overall at one point after Unbound. But then, you know, I like went to this one super hilly race at altitude, like didn't do well there. I helped Keegan at Leadville, so kind of like didn't get a mega result for myself there. I just didn't have good results at the end of the year. And, you know, I'm sure they have like 1,000 dudes applying to get in that series. So they're like, okay, Tobin didn't perform very well, so he's out. We'll let someone else try to take his spot or like give someone else the opportunity. Yeah, you know, being Keegan's teammate only gets you so far in life. So no lifetime. I do a lot of those races with our team. And then once the season's over, the gravel season goes way too late, in my opinion. Like, we're racing in mid-October.
Yeah.
The end of the season, which is just like, it's too late. So I would like to race cross in the winter, but like, you've been burning the candle hot, like spring, summer, early fall, where you don't have much left in the tank to.
And obviously it's a different training schedule, right?
Yeah, it's like cross is an hour-long race. It's like super explosive versus gravel's like just kind of diesel fitness. Just sit on the gas for 6-7 hours.
Is that why you guys are mainly doing just big fucking road rides, I feel like?
Yeah, always. Like those mega 7-8 hour road rides, just got to get good at just holding the power, you know? Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know. There's like, some people are like, well, if you train this hard doing lower volume, like you do 4 hour rides, but you train in these zones, like very, very strictly, like it should have the same effect. And you're just like, there's no replacement for displacement, brother. And that is just going out and doing the volume.
Time, fucking
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so then obviously, even if you wanted to do cross, it'd be probably fucking pretty brutal, right?
It's like, so brutal. You're tired. Yeah. And then like, it's just a different effort. It's like so fast and explosive. And I mean, I'm not old. I'm 29, but I'm on the older of like, you're starting to be an older professional racer, and you get like these younger kids coming in. They're like 21, 22, and they're just like so explosive and fast. And it's hard to hold their wheels, man. Like,
yeah,
the explosivity is something we don't train. And those guys just can punch it so hard out of every corner that, yeah, it's like a two stroke versus like a diesel truck or something, I guess. Right. Like,
I kind of made the joke, like, I feel like the Lifetime series of this gravel series is kind of like where the older guys, like, you can't, I feel like, yeah, you can't be a younger guy though and come in like a 21 year old's not going to come in and win that.
No, I completely agree. And I think it's like cumulative training, right? Like, you see it all the time when you're, I don't know, when I was younger riding with like the older guys in town, like those guys are good on the long rides, like 100 miles plus, they're just good, versus the young guys, you like, they don't have the miles in your legs. It sounds like so unscientific when you say it like that, but
no, but is. I think it has some truth and some ground to stand on, because that's why the best young rider under 25 in Tour de France, like that award exists, because
yeah,
up until recently, if you were a younger rider, they weren't as competitive. And now there seems to be a bit of a shift with some of these.
Now it's all like insane. Yeah, I mean, Pogacar is like white jersey and yellow jersey, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So
that is a very good point.
Yeah. And the peak Tour de France riders typically used to be like in our age range, which is right just before 30, if not right around then, 28.
The prime.
Yeah.
In the prime. Yeah,
but yeah, that's a super good point. That is,
how much different is like changed. Your guys' training, I guess, but even from a tour training, because I feel like it is pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend about that actually the other night. Like, I don't know exactly what those guys do, but Keegan has a better idea of that. Like,
yeah,
the volume we'll do in like preparation for Unbound is probably, I could be totally wrong here, but I don't think that those tour guys are doing 7 and 8 hour training rides, because they don't have 7 and 8 hour like stages.
Yeah.
That makes sense. There's a 6 hour. I watched like every stage of the tour, but I'm not sure exactly, like most of those days are not 6 hour days. You know, it's not uncommon to have a 3.5-4 hour day. That's like a ton of climbing, but they're not all like huge. So, you know, why put in a 7-8 hour training day if the race you're doing is only going to be six and a half. When you could kind of focus on shorter, do some more specific work or whatever during that training ride.
I feel like the way Lifetime and how gnarly, I feel like it's pretty gnarly, like Unbound with the 200 miles and whatever it is. Do you think you have to train harder for Lifetime than you do like the tour or do that? You know, like what?
Man, I wonder, like, I doubt, I don't know, man. The tour guys, like,
cause they give their fucking life, your life. You're just on a bike. Yeah.
I would say it's just different. I wouldn't say it's necessarily harder. I think that the devotion has to be the same to be the best at any discipline. You got to have
that or XC or.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're training just as hard, but the training's just going to be different based off of the needs of what you have to have your body, how you have to have your body demands. Perform. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I guess I would just come into like what you spend six hours a day on a bike, pretty much.
Yeah, average ride probably 4 to 5, and then the big days are 6 plus.
So then what XC then? Or cross, you weren't doing that, right?
No, cross is like, dude, when I was really, really good at cross, like winning a lot of races, I was like 15 hours a week or so, just short and intense, like pretty low volume. Then versus like getting ready for Unbound, you're doing 30 to like 34 hour weeks, which And you do that for like 2 or 3 weeks. So I would say like the training block to be good for the one Unbound race is probably the training block. That 3 weeks is probably hour mileage and whatnot, similar to like the tour maybe, but you're not racing. So it's not as hard, obviously. Like the tour is 3 weeks in a row of racing, but I bet the volume is similar. I don't know mileage. I bet the tour is doing more miles per week than.
Which one's more ruthless? Because I feel like in Cross, like you guys look like you're ready to know Kung Fu and fight.
Dude, Cross is ruthless. It's physical. It's like, it's the best. Yeah, God, dude, it's so good. Like,
you love that shit.
I love it, man. So you get to like, yeah, like if the finish line's like around the corner and you know you just got to be in that corner first, like you know it, the guy next to you knows it, and it's like, well, who's going to come out first, you know?
Cross, in my opinion, is the most difficult discipline of cycling that I've ever raced. It's
really,
it's hard. I mean, yeah, it's just an hour of absolute full gas. You're ideally not getting off the bike, but most cases you're getting off the bike and running.
Always shitty weather, which is like they look for shitty weather weekends. Why is that?
It's just the winter. That's why Cross hates it.
That's the spirit of Cross, man.
It's a crazy spirit. I don't know if I'm down for that.
I almost think that – I think Cross is, like, the most tactical, the most, like, craft. Like, how good is your Cross craft? Are you a good runner, good at getting off the bike, good at bunny hopping, good at riding the sketchy bike fast? Because that's, like, the magic of Cross. Like, it's a sketchy bike. But if you're good at it, it's the fastest bike still. So,
yeah, they give you no suspension, no fucking good tires.
33 millimeter tires. Yeah,
what the fuck?
If you really push on them really, really hard, you can rip them off. So you got to be kind of, off the rim. I used to think like Cross is a really hard effort, but I think XCO, like UCI style XCO racing, is almost worse. It's like harder because Cross to me feels like you exit a corner, then you like sprint and you get up to speed, then you like motor and you like twist the throttle and you kind of stay there till the next turns. Cross country, like XCO styles, is like little hills, and whenever you're on a hill, it just seems like the guy in front of you is trying to kill you. Like it's 11 out of 10 to the top of the hill, quick descent, like descend cross-eyed, hit the next reverse as hard as you can, like, and it's an hour and 20 minutes, so it's another 20 minutes. So I don't know, cross country felt like way more excruciating.
It looks more excruciating.
Yeah, than cyclocross. Cyclocross had more like you're up at speed, but you're not you've gotten to speed, now you get to stay there for a bit, versus cross country is like high speed, low speed, high, like ton of really hard accelerations. Yeah. It's different, but it's,
and you don't,
I think XCO,
you're not really getting off your bike to fight the guy next to you. So, you know,
no.
So I feel like, and it's, there. I can't believe that. I mean, cause I did my first ever, so I didn't race it. I was doing the broadcast for cyclocross at Kentucky or wherever the fuck we were at. But, dude, it's wild. Your guys' dismount and then your guys' like remount. Like, dude, I can't even do that with flat pedals that fucking smooth.
Yeah. You get good at it. And some, like Curtis White is really good at it. Who is one of the best cross guys right now. He's really good at it because he's not a great bunny hopper, so he has to be good at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How can you not be a great bunny hopper and race cross, though?
As long as we're talking shit.
I'm a little bit confused on how you can't be a good bunny hopper and be good at cross, then.
You just don't bunny hop bears.
Yeah, isn't
it faster?
If you can get off. Fast. Yeah, if it goes wrong, it's way slower.
Yeah, if it goes wrong.
That's the problem. Over the bars.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, it's you don't have a fork to like help you eat it. There's like if you clip it, just gone.
Dude, I was actually loving cross and the fact like you guys, I was the closest to supercross level because it's in the center of the city, and you guys are taking it like they literally were going to the last corner, taking each other out, T-boning the fuck out of a guy, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's cool. It's like supercross.
It is,
and it's insane in Europe. If you think it was big in the U.S., man, it's unbelievable. I mean,
and that's why Vanderpool and like Pitcock and them all do that, right?
Yeah, there's 60,000 people are surrounding this Belgian city track with in snow. It's like miserable.
But eating their mayonnaise insane. Hot dog and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the mayonnaise frites.
What the fuck is wrong?
We did this one race in World Championships was in Zolder, Belgium. And there's this, some people might know, but listeners, Sven Nys. It's like the goat of cyclocross. And it was his last World Champs. And it was in Belgium, his home country. And I think it was 60 or 70,000 tickets sold to come watch that race. Yeah.
And I get it, dude. It's way more entertaining. Like,
and there's Jumbotrons, so you can watch them go by, go back to the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Like, and it's quick. It's short. It's 1 hour. There's beer.
There's beer. And then there's beer. And then there's more beer.
More beer.
Yeah. No, it's in the center of town. It was sick.
I watched this one guy at Louisville World Champs, and first time it ever came to the United States. We were done racing and we were watching the pro race because I was a U23 at the time. And it was at this park that was next to the river, and the river was like almost starting to flood the park. They had to change the schedule. So there was these big, like low spots that were kind of full of water. And I watched this drunk guy like walk too close to the edge, and he started sliding into the puddle. And he's like on his feet and his hands and knees, and he's just like sliding into the puddle. I'm like, I can't help this guy. I'm just like way up watching this whole thing happen. And, you know, like someone eventually goes down and gives him a hand and like pulls him out, and he gets out a little bit and then just starts sliding right back in.
No way.
And like the spectators are just, loose units at cyclocross races.
I mean, it's
downhill.
I don't know. I'd rather go watch a cross. Like, you ain't T-boning anyone in fucking downhill, you know?
No. Yeah.
Did you, Tobin, ever do the Interbike cyclocross race?
Yeah, Cross Vegas. That was
Cross Vegas, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
It used to be. It was crazy. It was so sick.
It was huge.
Where was it at? Like, in the middle of Vegas or what?
Some
park. It was a soccer complex.
Yeah.
Like, off the strip, and it was all grass. So, which isn't the most fun to race cross on, but it's like a crit. And Cross Vegas, that was a big race. The Euros would come for that. Yep. Everyone from the expo would leave, and they're like, we're going to the race tonight.
Yep, packed. They would build wood over-unders and stuff. And the last year,
sick.
I remember the last year I raced it, and everyone, all the Euros were so pissed off because all the crowd and stuff was going crazy, throwing beer on everybody.
They're throwing beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that's what it'd be like in Europe, right? And then they're mad?
In Europe, they throw beer too. But I think there's that one section of the course got a little like...
Yeah. Right after the over-under. Or right around that thing.
It was like this big infield bit.
It turned into like your single-speed championship.
Exactly. Like it's too much chaos. And then that race actually was a World Cup the last 2 years.
Gosh. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a big deal.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was sick.
Holy shit.
The golden era of cyclocross.
Yep.
Wow. All right.
Now we just race gravel.
And we never see you for 200 miles.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, like I love the feed zones at gravel. I get so excited. I'm like, oh, feed zone's coming up. I get to see my friends real quick. And then you're like, ha, okay, bye. And then
maybe
I'll see you when we're done.
Maybe I'll see you when you're... I mean, what has that transition been like for you? Like, you know?
It's so weird. It just happened. Like, I've been on Santa Cruz. This is my eighth year. So I was on it before that for 4 years. And then we signed Keegan. And the first year, we were doing, like, a lot of UCI cross-country stuff because Keegan was trying to get points to go to the Olympics. And then he didn't make the Olympic team. Blevins beat him for the last spot, or the only spot. It wasn't the last spot. There's only one spot for the men. And then we started doing like these big endurance things. They were still kind of COVID. That's where you and I met. Austin was like this FKT at the White Rim. So we all just went out. We're like, well, we can't race, so we'll just go try to do like FKTs and other big stuff. And then that was the year Keegan didn't make the Olympic team. And then the next year was the first year of Lifetime Grand Prix, which was like, hey, we're going to do this series of races and there's going to be a ton of prize money for the overall. So Keegan was like, yeah, let's try that. And then he just started dominating. And then that year I wasn't in the Grand Prix. I didn't apply to be in it or anything. And I crashed mid-season and like ripped my knee open to the bone. So I had a big chunk of time off that year. And then the team was doing all those races. So I just started doing all these endurance races with the team. And then I applied to be in Lifetime last year, got in. And I don't know. Now all of a sudden I'm just a gravel racer. And I don't know how.
Yeah, I'm just a gravel racer. It's fucking over. You're a gravel racer now.
Like, I feel super like grateful for the support. Like, it's sick. I have a great time doing my job, racing, doing gravel, whatever it is. Like, I just like racing. But I do wish, though, that cyclocross was still like, yeah, the discipline, you know, because yeah, it was the coolest for a long time. And maybe it'll be cool again one day. But right now, gravel's cool. So whatever, we're doing this.
Whatever, gravel's cool. Yeah, we're getting this. I love it. Yeah. That's a wild way to look at it.
How does it feel for you going from like a full gravel schedule then to race things like Downeyville in the middle of your season, essentially? And you guys like smashed it, everyone last year. I would say your guys' fitness level was probably still pretty geared towards extended events, and now you got an hour and 30 cross country race.
Yeah, so with Downeyville,
45. Yeah.
Yeah, Downeyville, for I guess like the listeners, is a 2-day race. Saturday is the cross country race, and it's basically just a beefy climb up this mountain and then an hour descent. Like to back into town.
Ish. Yeah.
And it's still with
1500 feet of climbing in the descent or 1200.
Yeah. They're still like climbing in it. It trends downhill, but there's some,
that's another downhill. Climb.
Yeah. It's Downeyville's, like Downeyville's world championship is what it's called. The all mountain unofficial.
Yeah.
Mountain world championship. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. That's totally accurate. And then, so Saturday's up and down, and then Sunday you just get dropped off at the top of the mountain. It's just a race to town. Not a mass start. That's timed. So Saturday is a cross-country start. Sunday's timed, you know, one-minute intervals. Dude, Downeyville feels like such a nice vacation weekend almost. Where it's like a race you're taking. This sounds wrong. Like, we're taking it very seriously. You want to win. It's important to win. But, like, you're in this cool little town. There's, like, a beautiful river.
Yep.
You're staying in a nice house. You're in the mountains. You're not in Kansas. Like, it's nice. And then the racing is fun because ripping. You're on a cross country bike, but you have it set up with like a knobbier 2.4 tire than you would normally have. Your bike's at the 120 mil setup, not the 100 mil you might have for like a Sea Otter. And you just get to rip. And you get to compete based on handling skills and fitness, not just fitness. Which is nice. You know, it's like gravel's not a lot of handling involved. That's why, like, there's a lot of roadies that are good at it.
Yeah.
So Downeyville is, the fitness is there. It's a massively long climb. It's not a terribly punchy race, you know, because it's just that slog of a climb. So it is actually somewhat well suited to like what we've been doing prior to that. The team won't go this year. I'm going to go. But Alexis and Keegan will be at Crusher and the Tusher, which is a race in Utah. It has more climbing than descending. It's a pretty dumb race, in my opinion. But,
more climbing than descending? That sucks.
Dude, it's a point-to-point race. You got a mountain, right? Starts here. You go up the mountain, down the back of the mountain, do a loop, climb up what you just descended. And then when you get to the point, the peak over here, instead of going like back to town or whatever, you continue up the ridge to a ski resort. And it's a point to point. So you go up, down, up, up. And it's like,
that sounds like a Keegan type of fucking race right there, though.
He loves it. Yeah.
He's here right now. Let me fucking add him in.
What's his name that puts it on? Bart? Burt?
What up, Keegan?
Burke.
Burke. Burke. Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about your favorite race, the Crusher and the Tusher.
Tobin's favorite. He loves that race. He's actually coming back for it this year. He just hasn't said it yet.
I was just telling him how lucky I am to get to not go to that this year. Even if Downeyville wasn't happening, I wouldn't go to that race again.
Stop. Yeah. All right, you guys. Keegan Swinson's here, our next guest. What's up, Keegan?
Oh, not much, guys. Yeah.
You get the iPhone figured out, it looks like?
Oh, yeah. Got a nice cardboard stand set up with ball over here.
Yes.
Are you guys top right around notch. The corner? Right around the corner from each other, too?
No, this guy's in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in a race.
Oh, I thought you guys were both at Lost and Found.
No, is I'm in Utah right now, up in Midway.
Okay.
Right. It does look like the same color room.
Yeah, it does, kind of. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Keegan's actually just over there.
Keegan does the test and he's like, hey, man, I got this 2015 MacBook Pro with a fucking.
Air. It's not even a Pro. It's just the basic ass MacBook. It's the cheap, this little guy.
The camera was 480 on it. I was like, Jesus Christ, can we try your iPhone? You know, switched him up to the iPhone and. Upgrade. I'm stoked it's working, and I guess he's got a cardboard stand and he's got a nice flat screen TV though. Yeah. Fucking hey, buy yourself a laptop over here. The guy wins fucking $150,000 last year at the fucking race and he's like, nah, dude, old laptop, can't make it happen.
Old laptop. We got motorcycles to buy, man.
I get it. That's true. Keegan, what's your thoughts on cross? Are we gonna see you race cross now since Tobin is really into it?
I mean, someday, you know, it is on the bucket list. I would love to go race cross nationals.
No,
he always says this. Just
I always say it. One day it'll happen though. Once it goes to some place that's not like
cold
in the Midwest or Northeast, maybe like if it goes to California or
when the fuck does Arizona, it go to California?
It'll go someday. Just wait. San Diego, that's like LA,
someday.
Well, we were going to have USA Cycling on. Should we ask them if they can have one there for you?
Tell them to host it in San Diego or maybe Tucson. Let's make it super easy.
In the
we got
winter.
Sand washes, dude. We got all sorts of good cross
stuff.
You
could do a good cross race in the sand in Tucson.
Actually. Yeah. You could. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Because what was that one race in Tucson you just crushed it at last year with you and Blevins went at it and you got him in the sand wash?
Oh, that was up in Phoenix. Same thing. We could do Phoenix too. I'd let Phoenix happen.
Okay. I thought it was Tucson. Yeah. It was in Phoenix?
Yeah, that was up in Cave Creek up in Scottsdale.
Oh, really? Okay, shit. Yeah. Yeah, you guys are riding old moto trails that we used to ride.
Yeah.
There's a ton.
This year, there's even more of them this year. Lots of whoops.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that Luca Cometti video from it, and he was like, dude, people were fucking dying in those whoops.
Dude, they were just these huge whoops, and they like, there's a whole shot into it. And then it's this probably 10 minute climb, maybe not that long. It's the climb, and then it's like a whole shot into this, like, fire road is just whooped out and you know we're on gravel bikes and some of these guys just like I watched one guy like start to go over the bars over the first whoop, ride his front wheel through the like trough of it and then just like hit the face of the next whoop and just get ejected like right next to me here. I'm just like
gone.
Gotta love awesome. Roadies
you gotta love ejected. Roadies
and the best part was he was fighting someone for the spot. And then one of them's more of a road racer. I know both of them. One's more of a
you
racer,
knew these people. That's even biker. Better.
And I'm just like, don't fight him for the wheel. And they start fighting. I'm like, ooh, one he's not coming out of this on the bike.
Seriously.
The roadie lost, if you guys were connected.
I understand. I was dealing with that at Sea Otter. Just battling some roadies on the cross country race. I'm like, dude, I'm going to go down this hill faster than you. Just let me.
Like, it helps us all if I just get the pace going high. Like, I'll let you by the minute we get to the climb. I promise. Yeah.
I love that we have Keegan's old teammate and Keegan's new teammate on the podcast. I've been told that you guys were teammates, Spencer,
loosely
teammates.
Very loosely.
Keegan's like, I'm going to separate this one right now.
No, it was very loosely. We were associated, team associated, I would say, for just a little bit. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was on like the B team.
It was like a show air thing. There was like the ride biker team and there was like the show air factory team. And there was like one, there was like a few months of like some overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we
like
all
you
got
guys,
fired.
You were all in the same pit area at one time. Is that what the overlap was? Or
no, there was no pit for me. I was just wearing a show air jersey for a couple weeks and then I was on the ride biker deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have rode the same trails at the same time. All right. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the closest
me,
you have
me
there.
Just,
okay.
Me just a little further behind.
Keegan, so talk about the transition from being an XC guy. Now you're basically a fucking roadie in gravel racing.
Yeah, it happened pretty quick, you know.
Keegan's a Grand Fondo specialist also.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Grand Fondo specialist. You want to be Grand Fondo this year as well.
Okay.
On the road.
On the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
Levi's.
Oh,
yeah. Up in like Sonoma, Petaluma area.
Okay, someone explain to me, what is a fucking Gran Fondo?
It's a race if you want it to be a race at the front, but it's not a race if you don't want it to be at the back, I guess, is the best way to put it.
It's not,
it was a
not...
race because there's money. There was a lot of money at this point.
There was, so hold on, there's money? So then how is it not a race? I'm confused.
Well, it was a full race, but I think it was like, dude, that was full on. They're like 10 G's. First place, $10,000.
What?
How are you not going to call that a bike race?
Like, that's a bike race. That's not a
Fondo. Oh, yeah. It was but a full bike race at the front.
Yeah. I almost wonder with like the Fondo, though, if it's like, we have a Fondo, we'll have loose scoring, like men and women. Because I don't think that the race had.
So there was no scoring? It was just whoever fucking went through first?
No,
there was scoring. There was chips and numbers.
There was chips.
The way that Levi kind of structured it was that it was like a fun ride in Fondo for like most, but then there was like an elite pro category, which is what we raced.
For the other 6,900 participants, and then
I think there was for the, or maybe just the Growler. Maybe the Growler, which was like the 140 mile one, was a race, and the others were fun rides. Maybe that's how it was structured. I don't fully know.
Is there like a distance when you've set a Gran Fondo, or is there just whatever?
I mean, it's whatever. I think why he still called it the Fondo is because it was kind of like a gravel race in the sense that like there was no support, so there was no team cars. You couldn't have anyone feeding you. You had to just use their support and like fill up your bottles or grab their bottles, use their gels. Like you had to like be self-sufficient, which I think is why they didn't want to call it a road race because there wasn't actually feed zones. There wasn't follow cars. There wasn't like any of that traditional road race business, which was cool because it made it easy for like our small team of two to go in and get it done, you know? So
Tobin over here's like, I sacrificed.
It was so sweet.
So what you're saying is you should be more considered a roadie because you probably have won more money racing road this year so far than that.
That might be true.
I don't know. Whiskey 50 though, still pretty good payout. I did win that.
Does he actually pay pretty good at those?
Oh, yeah.
But the 24 hours doesn't pay, right?
No, that one doesn't pay, but the Whiskey 50 pays well. That one, it's like, I can't remember what the total prize purse is, but it's $5,000 to win and pays 12 deep. So it's
really?
It's payout. Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Okay.
One of the better ones we have.
Sea Otter's bullshit. Keegan just got his check in the mail from Sea Otter. And he's like, I think it was like $500
to $500.
What?
Yeah.
Is that not, does Lifetime not pay per round or is it just overall?
No, just overall. And then like Crusher has a small payout of a couple grand, maybe an 1,000.
Up. I thought that they were paying per round.
No, it's just the overall. Then there's like small peanuts at the, some of the events. Unbound doesn't have any.
What do you think Leadville the biggest gravel race in the world? Yeah. Unbound. Leadville.
I don't know. Unbound. What is Unbound win?
None. Zero.
No, what?
There's no money.
There's no money. Yeah. Look at Spencer over there biting his fucking lip right now.
Spencer's like, I got out right on time.
Holy shit.
Yeah. But most of it's like, I mean, most of us make good money on the bonuses and like on that side of things. But
wow. Okay. Well, that changes things on my thought about it a little bit. I was like, oh, wow. Look at they're paying all these guys some pretty good money. Like, this is where you got to go. But
yeah, just the overall.
Just the overall.
The place. Yeah.
And then
like Mahorich. You know, gravel how much world is champ it? Rolls up at Unbound. He was chatting. He's like, there's no payout for this. He's like, I cannot believe that. And I was like,
yeah, just to the risk your United fucking States. Life on the starts of those things. The starts look the gnarliest.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So then, okay, how much are entries? Are that you have to pay the full entry price at every one and they set it?
They do comp the Grand Prix entries. Like, it's like a. If you're in the series, it's like a...
So that's why Tobin was fighting so hard to get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the team, but to save the team's budget.
To save the team's budget. I love it. Wow. Okay. All right. So you've made more money road racing. You're looking to
Fondo
get on...
Fondo racing.
Fondo racing. Yeah, seriously. So seriously, what the fuck happened this year at Unbound?
It was just a road race. There wasn't... You know, it wasn't hot, it wasn't windy, it wasn't muddy, and the course was just ripping fast, and it was a deep field, and it just stuck together the whole time, and there wasn't, you know, the brake went, no one was working, there's no teams, because I think what happens is these gravel races, people think, oh, the brake can just go and it'll come back because that's what happens in road racing. But there isn't teams to bring it back, you know? So that brake all of a sudden had almost 10 minutes, and then Tobin and Ian Boswell pretty much single-handedly brought that brake back. And if they didn't ride, no one would have ridden, and that brake would have won the race. So I think it's kind of a weird dynamic in that no one really wants to do the work to bring it back. And, you know, if I were to try to go in the brake, it wouldn't happen. It would just immediately get chased. And they probably wouldn't let Tobin go either, because they know that then if he goes, I've got a free ride the rest of the day. So it's a kind of a weird dynamic when there's a field like that without like big climbs or anything technical to really break it up. And it just becomes more of like a kind of traditional, just a long road race. It just becomes a race of attrition and like who's got it left at the end. And it really kind of a gamble on like what, like Lachlan, like when he went, like he attacked a few times and the bunch just let him go and no one wanted to chase. And then, you know, he got it up to a few minutes and it's like, if you give that guy an inch, he's going to take it. So, you know, at the end, like we were chasing and there might've been a small chance to bring it back if like I'd stayed off the ground, but also it's like, it would have been a really tall ask to bring back that couple minutes and like, we only had 20 miles left. So it was like, you know, it would have been an all in effort and then, you know, found myself in the dirt. So it was like, yeah, bit of a tricky race. I'd never really been in that situation of like having like so many guys really making it. It was such a negative race, I guess, in the sense that no one was willing to push. And, you know, I was like very, very marked being the defending champion. There's a few of us that were in that same boat of like, not like Matt Beers was also a very marked rider, as he just, you know, whipped everyone in at BWR California. So I think they were leery of him as well and wouldn't give him any leash. So yeah, just couldn't really make anything stick, you know, and it was hard to, I tried a few moves and it was just, there's too many guys willing to like to bring me back anytime I tried. And then no one else was willing to do the work to bring back other moves. So it just became like, I just kind of got stuck in a way. So
like in the past, has it been that way or no?
Well, the past 2 years we've had mud and rain, yeah, which separates things, you know, because it makes it harder. There's always wind and there's water. And like the mud last year just detonated the race. Basically at mile, I think it was like 10 miles in or something, there was a couple miles of mud and Tobin and I just rode away. And then a few guys were able to make contact. And then that was the race. Like that was it. You know, there was like 8 of us rolling the rest of the day and guys would just slowly fall off as they cracked. And then, you know, we start racing and really like pushing each other the last 20 miles, like attacking and so on. So yeah, I really think Unbound now, like with how stacked that race is, we're going to need like harder conditions to make the race not so road racy, you know?
Yeah. Or more teammates. It's just going to turn into a tour. Yeah. More teammates. You need more Tobins just to light some candles and fucking let's go.
You give me two more Tobins and it's
give me two more Tobins. Hey,
one more solid teammate would be pretty ideal. Like,
yeah, that's what it would take to make it like, obviously it's still always a challenge to get that, to make it happen at that race, but having one more teammate would really make things more feasible, I guess.
And that whole, I wonder, or no, quick, go ahead.
Well, tactically, like I don't think we did anything wrong, but it wasn't.
We could do better.
The finish. I think I was sitting on the front for a lot, like burning myself down to nothing, which was fine. Like that's what I was there to do. But it almost had been better to hide a little more early, be less like sitting on the front burning candles and wait until the climbs where we knew we were going to be selective, where I can probably make it over. And then if I make it over in the climbs and I'm in the group and then some, you know, bullshit's going on where people don't want to chase, then I'm there to sacrifice and get that.
So, but then back. How does that happen though? In the chase situation, like when a dude starts breaking away, you guys are all just like, fuck it, let him go. Like I'm confused on that.
Everyone looks at Keegan because they're like, Lachlan goes.
Really?
Oh, for sure. Like everyone goes and, you know, there's maybe 8 guys. So Lachlan rolls and everyone's like, well, Keegan's the man to beat. Surely Keegan will do this. And like, yeah, Keegan might try, but
I can only do it so many times before I'm like, well, if I keep chasing, I'm going to lose anyway. So I might have to like, you have to gamble on like them. You have to be willing to lose the race in order to win the race at a certain point, you know, like you can't do all the work and win.
Yeah.
So
that's fucking gnarly. So is in the past years, then when you get those mud sections or whatever, and the separators, you would hit that and there'd be like five of you. What happens when you're in like that five pack? Is it the same situation? You guys
then
are all
people,
kinda...
then people work. Then yeah. everyone will ride because they know it's their best. It's their best chance yeah. at like a top 10 or a top five, you know, cause if they don't work, then the group's going to start, people are going to start attacking, or we're going to get caught by the 30 guys chasing behind. So yeah. like having, I think really like a group of like 10 or less is kind of ideal. It's harder for people to skip turns and harder to hide. But when a group gets like 20, 30, 40, you just can't organize people Nothing. To ride, you know, unless there's teammates that are willing to ride. It doesn't work.
Is this like a head nod, or is it like a, like, hey, you want to go, I'll go. Or how does the conversation, I just want to know all that, what's going on there.
Like, I mean, normally, you know, if there's like mud or if there's a crosswind or whatever, like you just go and whoever makes it, makes it. And, like you don't, you know, wow. there's not a whole lot of communication there. It's really like whoever has the legs to make it, will make it.
And if he dies, he dies. Is that just fucking...
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
And you have to, like sometimes you have to race as if it's a 2-hour long race and you just, well, I can't do this all day, but they don't know that. And you just go as long as you can and...
And you just lighten them fucking matches.
You're just playing chicken with everyone. Everyone's playing chicken with each other.
That's are you job. Are you guys out there barking orders much at people and being like, hey man, we need you to work if we're gonna make this stick and
yeah.
stuff
yeah.
like that.
Is I mean, you try. Like, I try. I mean, sometimes it helps to like to you can yell at them or you can you know try and con them into it.
Yeah.
Or you know you can use other words, but yeah. sometimes it doesn't work.
Other words. I mean, and come then, on, let's just share your best sentence you've given off, you know? Like, hey, you motherfucker, go.
Said on here.
No, you can say whatever. We're totally open. We like to cuss, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it gets pretty heated sometimes, though. And then, nice. You know, some guys take it personally, and sometimes most guys realize that it's just racing. You know, you just bark at each other, and then you can be friends after. But some, you're like, they take it a little too personally.
Any good little fucking brake checking going down when that happens, or... Hey, you fucker, go. And then poof, locks the brakes up, just takes you out, or no?
That's like on the road. I swear, like, you'll get someone, you're attacking as hard as you can, or they won't come through. And you just, like, swing off as hard, like, just swing out of their way and hit the brakes, like, make them come through.
No.
I hate doing that, but, like, something
has to be done.
It has to
like,
be.
Like, you're like, I'm done. I'm done doing this. Like, this is bullshit.
Even wow. even some local group rides get heated like that, and you gotta do it.
Yeah.
It's more exactly. prevalent on the local group ride. You get enough masters yeah, exactly. out there. Yeah.
That's crazy. So then, I guess, I mean, is Unbound just the one weird hitch in the whole lifetime thing that's kind of like this, if there is these type of conditions, or is all of them kind of turn into that if it turns out as conditions?
I think it's kind of, I mean, hard to say. I think right now it's just Unbound because it gets the biggest, like deepest field. And it's also, I mean, it's Kansas. Like there's no big hills. It's not like
you're not
going to
get that at Leadville.
Right. You don't get that at Leadville. You don't get that at Crusher. Like Sea Otter is a mountain bike race. And
Big Sugar could be.
Big Sugar's, but Big Sugar is a little more technical. Like there's more turns. It's looser. The climbs are a little bit longer. So I think it's like Unbound's kind of the perfect storm in the sense you have like the field, the conditions, especially this year, you had the good conditions, the race field, like the course itself, the climbs are only a minute long at most. So I think it just a bit of everything, you know, and it's also Unbound too. Like there's a lot of teams of like 2 and 3 riders, but a lot of these teams, they're all riding for themselves. Like Tobin and I are one of the few that like he's riding for me there. Whereas like there's like other teams that they're riding individually. They're not helping each other because they both want a result. So it's like, which also adds to the problem of like no one willing to work because no one's going to sacrifice themselves or someone else. So,
dude, that's fucking wild. So are they going to, I mean, I see it's working out for you guys, right? Like, is there going to be something in the rule book about like helping each other's and teams like that? Like,
no, I mean, no.
it's just a rule against it. Cause
like you can't hand your snacks off or something, you know, or, you know what I mean?
They could do rules about equipment changes, and they do have rules like that. Like, you can't, like, Crusher's got very specific rules, actually.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah, you can't, like, share wheels with somebody, but you could, like, share a CO2. Like, there's some weird, there's a lot of fixed gray area there.
So then each race ends up having its own little rule book? It's not even an over-blanketing rule book? Really?
Yeah, they're all unique. Like, Sea Otter, there's no pits. Like, there's feed zones, but you can't get any new wheels. But then Unbound, you have to have a support crew. You have to have pit. So it's, all the races are different. They all kind of have their own thrown away.
That's kind of wild. It just seems a little wild to me, like, that the purse is on that and then this different rule book. It's like, you guys fucking, your English is probably better than mine in reading too, huh? Or like,
partially, you know, maybe.
Definitely. That's not a, that's not a high bar.
I mean, hey, fuck off, you know?
But so back to the whole dynamic between you two going on, what, how did this kind of form up? Like the little super domestique and Keegan here, like what got you guys going as teammates?
Well, I guess like I said earlier, I was on Santa Cruz when Keegan got signed for 4 years ago. About, this is our fourth year of this team. And then I mean, the first 2 years we were still doing cross country stuff. I mean, what was that second? The second year you were in Lifetime, Keegan and I wasn't, and I was kind of out for some of the races with my knee thing. And then I was that year kind of new to some of these gravel races. I didn't really know what was going on. And then last year was like the Leadville thing where, you know, we kind of helped for the record, helped Keegan set the record. And that was the first time I think we had like a plan, like that I was going to just sell out to like help shed time for your record. But I think that was kind of our first time, like with that plan last year.
And I think
it's kind of just like snowballed ever since. Cause I constantly feel like, oh, why doesn't Keegan work for you? I'm like, I've never once been in a scenario where I'd be a better potential finisher for this race.
Yeah.
Like, it's, Keegan's always going to be stronger than me. So, yeah, I mean, like, if I can, at the end of the day, like, I just want our team, like, I want us to win. One of us should, needs to win this bike.
Where the fuck were you at the 24-hour race? Why weren't you out there putting some fucking toes in for this guy, okay? Fucking A, huh? Shit.
Man, that could have been cool, too, actually. We should, yeah, we should go back and do another record attempt where I don't have to finish, but you do.
Oh, yeah. Just what I want.
Yeah, where I don't have to
finish. Super cool.
You did, like, 50 miles in it, right? Some of the night riding, I remember.
He did. He jumped.
I jumped out at night. I wasn't racing, but I, like, went out with Keegan. I was like, okay, I'm not going to, I can't tow Keegan. I can't give him a draft. Obviously that would be against the rules.
Is it in the rules or even rules at 24 hour rate? I was not thinking
any rules, but
it's dark out.
Like,
no one will know.
Keegan's going to get scrutinized no matter what. So I was like, I'll just go out behind you and just sit on for, I don't know. I did like three laps. I think
that's teamwork. I mean, you're keeping him company. You're keeping him awake.
Yeah, we're going to strip you of that title now. It's gone.
Know,
it's
like,
over.
Is,
story's coming out.
Of a gray area. But yeah, but like earlier in the week, I think we're just hanging out and like, I probably had a few beers and I was like, I'll ride with you from midnight to sunrise. And he's like, no, you won't. I'm like, I'll do it. And then midnight rolls around. It's like super cold. And I like put my kit on and I did three laps and Keegan was moving fast. Like we were riding pretty hard. And I did three laps. And I'm like, that was 50-ish miles. Like, I'm good. Like, I did 50 miles. Like, that's a ton of mountain bike riding. And I'm like, I'm just gonna go back to the pit and like have some snacks and just keep doing my other job
and go back to sleep.
Dude,
I'm pretty sure I got footage of you fucking asleep. Don't fucking listen to him.
I was in the morning, and that was like a doze. That was
was asleep. That dude was asleep. I was pissing on him. He was still sleeping. He's fucking out. Yeah, that was a crazy fucking, when we did that, I didn't even understand how gnarly that was going to be. And then when we fucking did that, Keegan.
Neither did I.
I didn't either. No one understood how gnarly that was going to be.
Dude, the fucking footage of you when we were walking out of the tent and me asking those questions, you just looked gone. You were like,
done.
You were in a different dimension. Like,
dude, I left the chat for sure.
You did.
Just even walking when we got home, he was just limping. Like, you were so crushed.
I would have limped. So puffy too. All the inflammation everywhere. Just
like your ass must have just been chewed up.
Yeah.
Everything, dude.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Not doing that one again.
So now back to the team dynamics. Are we Tour de France and profit sharing, or what's going on there? You get hitting Tobin with little extra flavor there.
Keegan's a good teammate.
Daddy always gets paid. He gets paid share.
That's what I
out of that $500 bonus for winning Sea Otter,
that's
or like what are we talking about?
I didn't help it, Sea Otter.
See, all right,
cool.
Sheesh. All right, that's good then.
That's, you guys are kind of first of your kind doing this in the gravel world, I would say. I mean, there's obviously been some team tactic stuff, but I don't know. First I've really heard of it.
there's, I've like, we've talked about it a bit because there's so many privateers doing this, yeah. right? Like you have X, Y, and Z privateers, not factory supported. Like our team is called the Hit Squad, but we are a factory endurance team for Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz owns our team. You know, it's factory. So that means we're all getting our paycheck from Santa Cruz Bicycles versus like, you know, Pete Stetna, for example, is like getting a 1099 from Canyon and then a 1099 from Shimano. Like all his sponsors are paying him. So if Pete wants a teammate, Pete has to pay himself less to like hire a teammate. Unless, you know, you can always get creative and pitch like Canyon, like, hey, will you pay into this program more if I hire a second person?
Yeah.
But, you know, people are, I'm not calling Pete selfish or anything, but like, people want to make money racing. Right, so like what, there's no incentive. Yeah,
it's not like you guys are getting $1 million contracts here, right? You know?
No. So like there, the privateer model is so prevalent in gravel and not the factory model that I think that you won't see a ton of these teams, you know, start being a thing until there's more like.
What I just heard is Tobin is starting a team when he retires, and this is going to be the strategy.
this is going to be it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I could see you running a team. Yeah,
when it's. I think it's also hard to find, like guys that are willing to do that. Like, there's very few,
for sure,
like athletes who are like talented enough and like have a big enough engine and the will to like sacrifice themselves or like give up their wheel or like. Yeah. Leadville, like go full gas for 20 minutes and then just like survive for another 6.5 hours, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I think it like, so it's not only like, you can't just like find anyone and be like, oh, here's 20 grand. You're going to be my teammate. You know,
well, he told us to be someone before you came on, it was because you recognized his single speed world championship that he's willing to sacrifice for whatever you need.
I mean, that's the most legitimate title in cycling. Yeah, they say all they
that's
want.
That's not, the sarcasm hurts right now.
Oh my gosh, so good. Yeah, when are we going to see you sign up for that class?
I did it.
Worlds. Yeah.
Oh, did you? More.
I did it in Durango. A couple years ago.
Disqualified for cutting the course.
The story comes out unknowingly. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, buddy. I'm winking on that one. Uh huh. Yeah.
Someone rerouted the course for them. And one of their only, I think Howard Gruffs was the only one that recognized that it had been rerouted by these people fucking off. And Howie stayed on the old course and technically was the only one that stayed on course.
What a guy. Wow. Yeah.
Because there's like, there's so much fuckery. Like, you don't know. I was like, this could be, this is probably real. Like, they're always changing things. They're like throwing shit at you. Like, well, I'm not surprised the course is changing. Like, this is just par for the course. Yeah. And then turns out it wasn't actually like
legit. It wasn't an official. It was some drunk
assholes who decided to change the course.
Oh, fuck, that's wild.
Good for you guys for adapting. Honestly, that should probably be a tattoo in its own, man.
Yeah, do you guys matching tattoos yet? Tramp stamp area though, probably. Yeah,
we have a matching Hit Squad tattoo.
We have that. We do tattoos.
Yeah,
my mom loves it.
I think you guys need a tattoo that, like, when you put your fingers together, like it matches. You know, or like
two halves of a heart.
Yes, like that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's just where this relationship is at. Like, seriously. Yeah.
Wow. I guess another thing too, circling back to the team thing, is like if you had someone. Like, I guess I've been with Santa Cruz for a long time and pretty close to the brand. So, like, I think that they see the value in what we are doing. Or, like, I'd like to think I'm not going to not get re-signed because I didn't pull a bunch of results. Like, because they know that I've been helping Keegan. Like, Keegan's winning and I've maybe helped here and there. So, like, if they can see the value in that, then I don't have to worry about, like, not getting signed. You know what I mean? Versus like,
you sure it's not the single speed championship or?
Well, that was like the biggest. That's why I'm probably going to ask for a raise this year to be honest.
Is there a poster like in the lobby at Santa Cruz with this?
There is not a poster of that particular race, but we are on a poster at the Santa Cruz lobby.
Keegan, I got one for you. When you made the switch over to Santa Cruz and everything like that, maybe this is back to the serious note side of stuff. You were deep XC fucking guy and the gravel came about. Was at the plan when you went over to Santa Cruz even thinking about this gravel shit? Were you just straight XC? Like what was kind of going on when you made that switch?
Yeah, well, I did my first gravel race in 2020. I did the Belgian Waffle Ride in Utah, and actually, like Hornbeck at the time was like, "Oh, you should come do this race." And I was like, "No, I haven't ridden a bike for a week. Like, I'm just like kind of done, man. I don't want to do this anymore." You know, he's like, "No, come do it. It'll be good. There's good money, and you should like get your toe in the gravel scene." You know, so I went and did it, won, and actually had a bit of fun doing it. And I was like, "Huh? Like,
didn't you win with a broken bad?" Didn't your brake snap off or something?
Oh yeah, I did. Like 5 miles into the race, I ripped my front brake lever off. So I did the whole race on just a rear brake, which was
wild. You won?
I won. Yeah. And it was crazy. Like I had just
he was like, "This is fucking easy shit." When he did that, right? He was like, "Fuck."
So I did that, you know, in the off season, and then the next 2021 was like kind of refocused on the XCO thing, going for the Olympics. You know, I missed at that time. I was so with BWR, I was racing on Pivot. I re-signed with Santa Cruz for 21, and then you know, so it was all like back XCO focus there, going for the Olympics. Missed that, just like didn't put it together in Europe, so I didn't get the Olympic spot, and then was like a little pissed off, and just like, you know, went and did my own thing the rest of the year. We did Leadville, won that, did you know, various other kind of marathon racing, did a couple of gravel, did can't remember if I did Belgium Off Ride California, some other gravel races, and you know, then the Lifetime thing came about for 22. I was like, well, that sounds cool, like there's good money there, and like, you know, the team is down, I'm like, yeah, do whatever, like they're always really supportive of like we're just racing bikes, like off-road gravel, mountain bike, Downeyville, whatever, you know. So did that, and you know, found like success pretty quickly racing gravel. And you know, honestly for me, it was, I have a lot of fun doing it too. I mean, I started racing XCO when I was, you know, 14, 15 years old. So I did it. I did that for, you know, a long time. And so gravel to me is kind of like it's been kind of a new challenge, new adventure. And it's cool. It kind of blends. Like you still have to have skills. Like it's definitely good to have mountain bike skills. Like we can corner faster or less hard on equipment, like just better on the bike when it's rough and chunky. But then there's still like, there's the road side of like, you have to have tactics and you have to have you have to have a ton of fitness, like arguably more fitness than road racing. So I think it's a cool, like nice blend of kind of the kind of different disciplines. And you know, I think so it's just been fun to do something else. And like, obviously that's where like the industry kind of is right now too. Like it's so gravel focused. And so it's kind of like a perfect storm of everything, I think. And, yeah, it's been kind of a cool new challenge, and it's cool to do some new races, you know?
Yeah, seriously. So like, it wasn't like a contract when you signed the deal with Santa Cruz, it was like, "Hey, I'm going to race XC and go over and UCI," was it? Or were like,
yeah, we were just
like, it was
cross country bike then too.
Yeah. Cause the new blur launched. So it was like, we were XC focused. And then it's like that focus just kind of widened, you know, to be like, oh, like then the new Stigmata came last year. So we're like, then, you know, I went Unbound on that new bike. And so it's really just, kind of been just racing, like I said, racing off road. And, you know, then went and did Downeyville last year, which was, you know, kind of big for the brand. And yeah, I did that race. I think I raced it when I was 18, and, you know, I always wanted to go back and give it a crack for the win. So it was like really cool to go back there and do that. And,
win.
Yeah. Just kind of keep it real, you know. We just do all sorts of stuff. So Tobin's gonna hold down the fort this year at Downeyville since I'll be a crusher, but he's got it.
No pressure, bud.
Yeah. I'll hold that down for sure, dude.
This fucking guy. Well, that's kind of cool to hear that Santa Cruz was willing to. I mean, it's more like them just betting on you in a sense, right? Like, because you would think if someone was hired to do the tour or just hired to do UCI and was like, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to go race these fucking gravel races." It'd be like, "Oh, no, we kind of hired you to race a fucking blur." You know what I mean? Yeah. That's cool to hear that they're supportive in that way, right?
Yeah, no, very cool. And they're really supportive of like whatever we want to do. And, you know, we're racing all the bikes, you know, and Tobin even races some enduro, and like, we're kind of,
oh, shit, look out, Spencer.
Do it all.
It's fucking over now.
And cyclocross, Keegan.
Cyclocross, the occasional cyclocross.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're going to see you at Louisville this year? Is that what we're hearing?
Me or Keegan?
Keegan.
Oh, yeah, he's gone out this year.
No, not this year.
No, I can tell you straight up no right now.
No.
I already glued your tubulars.
I'm going.
That's wild. Oh, Sophia in the background, like just waving. Hey. Yeah, so talk to me. What's the plan for the rest of the year then? Like, obviously, with this hidden points, it kind of changes a little bit or not, or is just stick it to the course, I guess?
Well, I mean, the same plan the rest of the year, you know, just go out and try and get it done the next few races and just focus on each race at a time. I mean, it's still a long season. You know, I'm still leading the Grand Prix even after having an off day at Unbound. Like, there was enough.
That's kind of wild when I seen that.
Riders in there. Yeah. And I mean, wins are weighted heavier now, which behooved me because, you know, winning Sea Otter gave me a little point buffer, and Lachlan was pretty far down in the standing. So it, yeah, still worked out okay. We're still leading. So just got to keep on trucking, you know, doesn't really change anything for me.
How many more McTubbin sightings are we going to have at those?
Oh, he'll be at Leadville. Daddy's coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll go to Leadville. Wow. Yeah. I had a good time last year, you know, despite.
I never know. Maybe we'll try to do something there again. Who knows?
So Tobin's daddy in this situation?
Sometimes.
I'm always daddy.
Interesting. Okay. Always daddy. Okay.
Jesus.
So what are you then, Keegan, in this relationship? If Tobin's daddy.
Patron.
Yeah.
The patron.
Sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy.
He's the fucking hot chick, obviously. Shit. He's stepmom over here.
Okay. Here's your lunch money, child.
Here's your lunch money.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's wild. I seen you fucking redid the truck with a camper shell on it now. What's up with that?
Oh yeah. So that truck came from Tobin. Tobin found it. It was down one of his neighbors was selling it. And yeah, you know, kind of his long term plan of putting a flatbed on it and then getting a four wheel camper, like one of the big flatbed models to put on it. So it's kind of been a little project recently, getting that thing together, and yeah, it's been fun. It's a cool rig.
It was just because you couldn't find any sprinter vans in North America, and that's why you were like, hey, I'm gonna go with
No,
like,
one less sprinter. That's the thing.
I'll sell you my sprinter,
I'll sell you my sprinter right now. I know this fucking Mercedes German tech.
I didn't even drive it up to this race because it had so much oil leaking out from it.
Dude, the Cummins just goes. It doesn't care.
The Cummins does just go. True. Yeah.
24 valve. It'll run for.
What's it get for mileage? What are you getting in that sucker?
Between like 12 and 16, depending on what's on it. Like on the way home, I had a big supermoto on the front, the camper, 7 bikes on the back. And I was going like 85 and still got 12.
I just feel, Tobin, is he a fucking lead foot guy when he drives? He just fucking.
No, Keegan's never... actually not, honestly, pretty.
Really?
Pretty mellow. Like, you're not like a, you're like over in cruise control.
Yeah.
Same as me.
Yeah, I mean, I-15, you know, I-15 from like Vegas up to Salt Lake is 80 miles an hour the whole way. So if you're not going slightly over, you're just getting blown past people the whole time. So you have to let her eat a little bit.
Yeah. But when you're in California, you're 70 because it's 65 around here, or is it?
Yeah. I'd be safe.
Yeah.
Wow. And diesel, $6 a gallon there. You know,
yeah. So it's pretty fucked. Yeah.
It's cheap here.
And it's Tobin's fault, but yeah. So yeah, that's crazy. Sorry. fuck you guys, eh? Yeah, I was hoping Tobin was going to talk shit back, but he didn't have anything. So
I just hate when I see we're in Kansas and people complain about the gas prices in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it. Everyone. I'm fucking with you on that.
It's like $3
yeah.
a gallon there. It's cheap as hell. And they're like,
the best, though, is when. So this is, okay, here's the backstory on Austin talking shit. Austin's all talking shit about diesel prices, even though he's expensing the gas.
Hey, like, I'm not expensing it to shit. Hey, you know, Keegan rode for Monster. He understands there's no fucking expenses over there. They're a lump sum type of company.
I don't know about you.
I had no expenses. Mine were just lump summers. Keegan probably had a better contract than me. So, yeah. But, yeah, so. Like, is there any other off races you're going to hit, or you got like, what's your plan on that?
Ooh, I mean, honestly, just the Grand Prix, gravel nationals, and then likely gravel worlds over in Belgium.
Are you taking the McTubbin with you on that one, or
hopefully
yeah. not, dude?
Hopefully
Belgium.
Not.
Hopefully he loves Belgium. He spent half his life there when he was a kid.
See, there we go. Home.
I saw the budget sheet, and my name is not on the list.
Oh shit! Breaking up the team, then.
It can be arranged.
It could be arranged.
Gonna have to make some moves for daddy. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, I'll go. Honestly, I'll go to Gravel Worlds again. That was a pretty cool experience.
Really?
Last year looked incredible.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what happened right there towards the end? You were doing good, and then in the end had some roughness, right?
Let's talk about your tire choice. Normally, ooh. I'm incorrect here, but for the first time, Keegan was incorrect and tried to run slicks front and rear. And I'm like, you should run a little bit of knobs in the front for safety.
And I ended up on the ground. So,
all right. So 1 point to McTubbin on that one.
Yeah,
so
that's
the 69 you have. Yeah. He gets one in here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's gold. Nice.
How is gravel scene over in Europe?
It's good, man. Huh? It's different. It's, I mean, it was very. I don't know. It was cool. It was like kind of like a mix of a road race and mountain bike race. I felt like, which is ironic, but like it was cool because there wasn't, you know, the Mount XCO World Cups. There's like a bunch of spectators, but there's tape on the course, you know. Whereas over on the road, there's no tape. It's just the road. And then gravel was had that same vibe of like you would go up the climbs and the crowd would just like part as you go up, and it had that like very like European road race feel, which was cool, and it was. Very intense racing, like just fighting tooth and nail for every position, every spot, every into like every climb, every descent. So it was cool. I mean, it was just really aggressive, hard racing, you know?
Yeah. From the outside looking in, it looked like a road race
with
a little bit of mountain course trying to be forced into these things. It was,
yeah. Really, I mean, there's so much climbing there that it was just full gas the whole time. Like there wasn't a whole lot of tactics other than just like go as hard as you can all day, pretty much.
And then you helped out Team USA on the roadside for some stuff last year, right?
That was 2 years ago.
Oh, that was 2 years ago.
I went to Australia for Road Worlds.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. And now I feel like since you're probably a better road rider, now they need to hit you up, right? To go?
Yeah. I mean, I might go to Grand Fondo Worlds, you know.
If there's 10 grand to win, fuck it.
Oh, I'll be there. Yeah.
Because you know there's nothing for USA. National gravel championships.
Yeah.
Last year there was a bunch.
Oh. Really? Was it really?
Yeah, it was 12,000 last year. So I'm not sure if it's the same this year. Or
USA Cycling.
Wow.
Yeah, they're
like, how are we going to get people to come to Nebraska?
People to come to Nebraska. It's so true, though. Wow. Yeah. That's wild. And what is that? What time of year is that?
It is September, I think.
Is it? You don't even know. You're like, eh. Peasant money, you know.
We get there when we get there.
I'm here for the Grand Prix.
We take it one step at a time. Last year there, Tobin and I almost got a ticket for riding this forbidden monument. That was crazy.
It was a federal, yeah, it was a national monument, and it was like there's these bluffs in Nebraska. They're just like these weird mountains to like plateaus, and they're just kind of around. And one of them was a national monument. And the day after the race, it was the day after the race, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a training ride today, like 4 or 5 hours we had to go.
So we were training, and then we like see that there's a road up to one of the top of these bluffs, and it's like a national park. I'm like, dude, we should go check that out. So there's like a little ranger booth at the bottom in the stop sign, and we were coming in with some speed, and like whoever's in the booth like had a big brimmed hat on and was looking down. So we just kind of rolled it. We didn't even stop. Like, I don't know, maybe you had to pay. So we're just going, and we're riding up, and there was a sign that said like no bikes, and I'm like, well, no bikes is paved road. Like, that's weird. Like, it must be on the trails. That makes sense. No bikes in the national park trails. Okay. So we go all the way to the top where it's like a lollipop big road up, then just a little tiny parking lot circle and back down. And we get up there and we're like at this outlook, blah, blah, blah. And then like this ranger rolls up, like a federal ranger, right? With a gun and everything. It just says law enforcement on those cars. Like, the no fucking around rangers. Yeah. He's like, hey.
Hey, you see a lot of those?
Not really. We get up there and like the guy like stops. He's like, hey, like you guys can't ride up here. Like, what do you mean? He's like, you didn't see the signs? We're like, well, yeah, we figured that was for the trails. Like, we're just riding on the road. What's the deal? And he's like, yeah, and you guys blew through the Ranger booth without stopping. Like, what are you doing? And we're like, dude, honestly, we had no clue. We were just trying to see the best view in all of Nebraska up here, 300 feet higher than down there. And he's like, oh, we told him we're there for the race and everything. And he took all our info and then he just gave us a warning, I guess.
Yeah, he just gave us a warning. And I guess
we told
what happened is
we told Keegan that you won, or we told him that Keegan won the race, the pro race. And honestly, if we were getting a ticket, I'm like, dude, you're paying for the ticket. You just made bad jeans yesterday.
You're like, man, stepmom fucked me up.
Yeah. But like what happened is because I looked at this route, I made this route on Strava, and it was like the climb had been ridden a bunch. But apparently you can only ride it before the park opens or after the park opens. You can't ride it between the hours of like 9 and 5. So people just ride it in the evenings or before work or whatever.
Because it's a narrow road. And yeah, it's unsafe.
And the speed limit's like 15. Like, we were almost going the speed limit anyway. You know, it's like, come on. I mean, we have one car pass us.
And how many people are out there?
None.
Exactly.
None. Oh, fuck. Sunday.
Probably banned from Nebraska now.
Next time, just go to jail so we can get some better content, you know?
That would have been a better story.
Yeah, it would have been a better story. I was
just trying to outrun him.
Yeah, try to outrun him.
We could have dropped him down the descent for sure.
He's like, do you have your IDs? I'm like, no, we don't have our IDs. And he's like, well, what's your address? I'm like, Keegan better not say, like, he better tell him his real address. Like, he's going to the car and he's going to check.
You should have just gave him Santa Cruz's address.
28, yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty sweet.
That's not all.
Yeah, send them the bill. They'll handle it.
Send them the bill. Nice. Well, shit. Spencer, you got anything else good?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, we could probably keep this stuff.
I mean,
going.
I do have one beef with Keegan. Like, I swear to God, I fucking text you and you never text back. But if
I'll
I fucking but if I DM you, you fucking answer instantly.
Dude,
literally.
You don't want to see my text inbox. It's not good.
What the fuck? How do you answer DMs quicker than you answer text messages?
I think, you know, DMs become kind of a job and text messages, like, they
only for friends. I guess I'm fucking out then. All right, nice, thanks. I see where I sit. Thanks, stepmom.
The other problem, you know, I read these texts out on the bike and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna reply when I get home
yesterday.
And then
did I tell you, Austin?
Yeah,
I was like, Keegan spends too much time on his phone when he's training, so he's reading texts, the blue bubble disappears, and he forgets to reply.
But I can have a full fucking conversation with this guy in a DM. If I do anything more than a one word answer needed from Keegan in a text message, it's fucking gone. No,
if
out.
You can,
never.
Ideally, it's a thumbs up, thumbs down, long hold reply on the
text. Yeah, I should just give. I just need to immediately just give you a yes or a no, and like we'll touch. But hey, we did get the test done yesterday.
Yeah, we did get the test. I was
made it on time.
Yeah, McTubbin fucked me for a photo. Never got me one, so we just used his Instagram like selfie one.
You got a good one. That was a good picture.
That was a good picture of you doing the sport that you barely do. Yeah. Yeah, I got that one on
like
there.
A real mountain biker. I was like,
yeah, look at that.
Legit in that picture.
The most legit he's ever looked on a fucking mountain bike. Hey, when we did the FKT or whatever and you went the other way, what was your time?
I don't remember. It technically was the like other direction FKT. But
yeah, but was the time as fast as Keegan's going the other way, or like what was it? Because isn't that way supposed to be easier or no?
No, I think Keegan's way was easier.
No fucking way. Keegan, no fucking way.
No, dude, because my climbs, all my climbs are like, didn't you say, Keegan, you thought my way was harder?
Really?
I think it's, I mean, yes and no. I think mine is harder early. So I think it's
you're
better
because
you're
early, really
the hard stuff, and
because
it is harder late. Because we got to the same place at the same time. So at mile 50, we like passed. Actually, I think Tobin was a little ahead. I was like, "Damn, Tobin's on a heater today." And then I was thinking, I was like, "Oh, actually, no, Tobin still has a lot of bullshit left," and I'm like smooth sailing now. You know, so I think that's like that. It's a little deceiving because it's faster early for him, but then he gets all those shark teeth style climbs at the end, whereas I'm just like smooth sailing and I have to just jet up Schaefer.
Yeah, but I felt like those ones were more geared worse for you on those shark fin climbs, right?
Not
at least
50 miles in.
You're fresh when you hit them.
Oh, okay.
Versus, man, I hit that first one and I watched the power kind of go away. I'm like, you got to get it back up. Those are rookie numbers. You got to get us back up. And then start going hard again and just like coming unglued.
Were you?
And you have to take all your own water with you, and I'm empty, and I'm like looking at that nasty river, and I'm like,
oh, fucking wait. Did you?
Should I drink it?
What'd you end up doing? Because I never even remember you fucking coming into the pit afterwards.
I was just dead. Like when I got back to the car, like limping in, that was one of the harder cracks in my life. I got a handful in that. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was bad.
Dude, that's a nasty
day. I knew when we got to the 50-mile, because it's a 100-mile loop, and I'm looking at my pace and miles, and yeah, I'm like, okay, mile 49, I can see, and I'm like, don't see anything, 49 and a half, mile 50, and then Austin, I think I saw you, because you guys were ahead of Keegan videoing on the motos, and I think I got to like mile 50, I'm like, I'm ahead of Keegan right now, like I'm about to set an FKT, and then, and then at like mile 50.8, we crossed. And I'm like, I'm ahead of Keegan's pace. Like this is
best sweet. Case scenario right now.
Yeah. And then I didn't realize there's all those climbs. And that's probably why I was ahead of you, is because we both start the day with this huge descent into the,
yeah.
And then, yeah, you were just had a lower average speed. So you're climbing. And I was just sitting on the gas in the flats.
Yeah. Keegan, like, when we were passing some of those, when you were passing the cars more than I was waiting, but you were fucking blistering past those guys. Like, I don't know what was wrong with you and why you were doing that, but it was like you were trying to set a record or something, you know? But yeah, like that was fucking gnarly. Was it kind of the same for you, Tobin, or no? Like when you came to the,
like on the descent, Keegan?
Yeah, I'm going to, well, and all over,
anywhere, it didn't fucking matter where they were at. There was a sprinter van at one moment blocking a section. The dude jumped the Grand Canyon to get past the guy. It was fucking gnarly. Remember when you hit that one thing and you bunny hopped over the? I was like, oh, we're fucked here. This is going to be the moment, because the guy in the sprinter van was like, I was like, you know, like, okay, this dude's not going to move. Here comes Keegan. We're just fucked. Like, it is what it is. And then you just like darted right across that thing and bunny hopped over the Grand Canyon and they kept going. And I was like, oh, well, I guess we'll just wait here for 20 minutes for this guy. You get a sprinter unstuck.
I don't remember seeing any of that, to be honest. I don't remember seeing any cars.
You just blacked out. You were done.
No way.
That's a dark day.
Were you out of water too, Keegan, when we got to the end there? Or where were you at?
I think I ran out at the bottom of Schaefer Climb.
Shut the fuck up. Really?
Yeah. You had 1 liter on the bike. And then
it was pretty dark for a while. I mean, you're suffering. You know, afterward, you're... like your pee and battery acid, it's not good.
Wait, was that one worse than the 24-hour, or which one was worse?
I mean, they're different. Like the 24-hour, you have like a long, slow suffer. Like you have like 6 hours of hell, and that one you have a more excruciating like 2 hours of really bad. But you know it's gonna be over. Whereas a 24-hour, it doesn't matter how. Like the faster you ride, the more laps you do, which is the problem. Like I had that realization that I was like, wow, the faster you go, you're just going to have to keep going. Or at least the FKT, the faster you go, the quicker it's done, right? Which is sick. So there's motivation to push. But that one, you're like, man, if I just ride harder, I'm still going to have to, it doesn't matter how hard I ride. I'm still going to be here for another 8 hours or whatever.
That's fucking horrible news. Oh my God.
Yeah, I had that realization. I think it like 3 a.m. when I was like really suffering out there. And I was like, man, you're not even close to done yet. It doesn't matter how fast you go. You still have all these laps to go.
Dude, yeah, that was basically super,
I never thought about that. That's very, what a bummer thing to realize at that point in the race.
It's all I can think about for like hours.
Your speed doesn't matter. The finish line is at noon, not at X amount of miles.
Dude. I know.
As you were just tucking in for bed, Tobin, after you just rode with him.
Oh, we were all out at 3 a.m. We were fucking all passed out. I don't even know who was feeding you food. Who was awake? I don't even know.
I never slept.
No, you're full of shit. I'm going to go fucking find that hard drive. There's footage of you.
I know the photo you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, see? Oh, now he knows.
Well, I think
Myron is the only one who was like actually awake the entire time.
Yeah, because Myron was not on drugs at all. The way you guys are laughing on that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Myron was fucking somehow like when I did his interview at 7 in the morning the next day or whatever, he was still like just happy. Great day. Everything was good. We're like, yeah.
Don't drink any beer. You can't drink beer because you'll fall asleep. like you want to drink a beer, you're out there at this race, like the party race. I'm like, if you drink a beer, you are going to fall asleep. You can't, this isn't a race where you can like be doing that and then be up all night. And then dude, you feel so bad because Keegan has this, Keegan had his snack table full of like real nutrition, rice, Spam, candy, Oreos, Twinkies, you know, you name it. And I'm just sitting there like just snacking on all this stuff and like not even riding. Yeah.
Yeah, we all were.
Yeah. They're like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's
did you guys do the drop every time at night or no? Or did you guys go around? Or what, not I the drop or whatever that every time?
Yeah.
Really?
For better or worse.
Why did McTubbin just like first time you went around it? Who are you?
I was like, I don't know. It's dark. I haven't seen this drop. And then I was like, oh, it's just a rolling off a rock.
Yeah. Except for that one dude detonated his wheel on it. But yeah.
Yeah, he's running row balls. It's bound to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're team. Me and Spencer are team specialized. So watch your fucking mouth, okay?
Oh, well, if you get reserves, you have a lifetime warranty. So it doesn't matter what happens.
So does the specialized ones, okay?
But it won't happen on the reserve, okay?
Yeah, that's why you went around, motherfucker.
He's just trying to go to Gravel Worlds. Let him talk. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. I've been training on the e-bike. You're all fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then, yeah, you were just in your dark days at 3 a.m. and everyone else, you know, McTubbin was fucking done. It was just Myron. I mean, who was that other dude that was helping us too? That like also
broke Josh Testado.
Yeah, you like broke his record and he helped you. That's kind of, I thought that was wild.
He was kind of a 24-hour animal for a long time. And so it was cool to have him out there because he knew all the tricks. And he's like, you're going to want like vegetable broth, like late at night when it's cold, it always hits. Like all these random things that like I wouldn't have thought of, you know, and they work so well.
That's
so
wild.
Like, nice to have those little like insider tips, you know?
Yeah.
What
I had no idea what I was doing. All I knew, I was going for a long ass bike ride and I was like, it's going to hurt.
You fucking did go for a long ass bike ride.
It was 24 hours of Old Pueblo.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. You ever do that one?
You came in and I'm like, sit down. And I'm like, just put your arms up. I was like putting your arm warmers on. Remember that? I was putting your leg warmers on. I'm like, don't move. We'll got you. And we put your jersey on and we already filled it with snacks and everything.
Wow.
Pit crew.
Factory pit crew.
Well, dude, you were in a heated battle, what, for like 9 laps?
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah. They were, until you guys were.
About 10 o'clock, that guy was somewhat close.
Then I like attacked in the dark, man.
You attack
passes and like kind of turn my lights off for a bit and like get some weaselly moves and then you're out, you know.
Shut up. Did you really turn your lights off out
just
there?
Just turn them down to low so then he didn't see as well because there's other riders out there that we were passing, and then you just like go full gas for a bit and then you're gone and never see
on your second wheel. You're like looking at Keegan's, you're trying to look like way ahead,
yeah,
at where both the lights are hitting. But if yours like gets dark, then all of a sudden all I'm seeing is like Keegan's butt illuminated with my light, kinda.
Wow, I had no idea. So there was some strategy in on that.
A little bit. Cause I was like, really good, because he was like, cause I got really comfortable like ripping it at in the dark, you know, and I think he was only able to follow because he was following close and could see my lines. I was like, well, if I can just like snap the elastic here, then I'm gonna get free time on every turn. So
you know the race still had how many hours to go and it didn't
matter.
What do you
mean I have to keep going till noon?
What do you mean?
Yeah. When we were telling you like one more lap, you were like, fuck this. Like,
I don't want
your last lap was really slow.
Oh, dude, I checked out. I was like just making it around.
Yeah, I was too.
All I could do just to turn the pedals.
Fuck. That was brutal. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, like if they asked me to redo that and we went to go do it, I don't know if I'd want to do it again. That wasn't...
You didn't even race.
I didn't even race. I was just like staying up for 24 hours. And then honestly, like I was scared to venture out to film anywhere else. I know you had your tracker on the thing, but it wouldn't work. We never knew where the fuck you were at. It was like wrong every fucking time. We'd be like, no, he's coming into the pit. And then you wouldn't even be close to the pit, or you'd be in the pit and it would say you were on the other side of the tent. We were just like, what the fuck? Yeah, it was wild.
Chaos.
Yeah, except for Myron somehow knew where you were at every fucking minute of the race. But yeah, mine didn't.
He just knows. The guy
does. Like, what is up with that relationship there? Like, he just is like your guy.
Yeah, he just knows. He knows what's going on. He's good at keeping track of, like, Like he was keeping track of like when I came in, and he knew about how long it would take me. And he's also been out that race a lot. He just, dude, he's the shaman of the desert. The guy just like, he just knows, like, he just knows how it works, you know?
And he lives like in Tucson as well, near you?
Yeah, not too far away from where we are. He's like kind of closer to the mountains, but.
Did you know that? Was he your mechanic before then when you moved there or no? Or like, how did that?
We worked together on Pivot a little bit. Okay. And then he actually, I've known him since I was, when I was like 17, I was racing for Whole Athlete, like a specialized junior program. And he was the, like one of the factory mechanic for Todd Wells at that time. So like we'd like, I kind of met him at Sea Otter in the pits and then just kind of got to know him throughout, through the years. And then, you know, when I signed with Santa Cruz, I was like, we need to bring Myron. So.
Oh, is he like the official Santa Cruz guy for just you guys or what? How's that work?
Yeah. I mean, he's just our team mechanic.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously it just ended up working out that he lived near you in Tucson area.
Yeah. I mean, super ideal to have him close by because I'm always, you know, we're always like tinkering with things, changing settings
and bikes.
Yeah. And you don't want me working on my own bike.
Are you really?
If Myron's not there.
No way. Really?
That's not
true. I mean, I can like, I can change brake pads and chains and like, I can do things. But you won't catch me bleeding my own brakes. Or...
Oh, so you're kind of like Spencer in that, because I don't think Spencer does any maintenance on his bike.
Nope.
Yeah, suppose so. I like my life too much. I don't trust myself.
Spencer just, hey, we're going to go on a ride. And Spencer will be like, oh, hold on. Let me change this tire. 2 hours later. Fuck, dude. I never got this thing on the rim. How do we ride? Fucking gnarly. Yeah, Spencer don't want to talk about it. He's like, nah, dude,
I got
nothing
for you. That did happen once.
I don't know if it was fully Spencer's fault, but yeah, maybe it was like a wheel issue, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're not going to talk about it
again.
Yeah. Well, no comment on that one. But last thing that I have for you guys, I've heard rumors and things of about how the state of gravel is in particular. In the industry and like how it's performing, how sustainable do you guys think and feel it is for gravel to keep being like this pretty important piece of the pie?
I think that's a good question.
It's a good question. I think it's pretty sustainable, to be honest. I think the thing about gravel is, unlike road racing, it's a lot easier to get permits to run these events. Like it's just off road, you know, they don't need to like close down roads and it's easier to like to handle that side of things. And I think also people feel a lot safer. I think a lot of people are a little scared to ride on roads. It's faster. Everything's a little tighter together. And I think, and then you have areas like Kansas where there like isn't a lot of paved roads and it's all just gravel. And I think like a lot of people like just enjoy like the gravel racing, just easy. You can roll up. Just do the race, the ride, however you want to do it. And it's simple. You don't need like a bunch of skills to ride in the pack. You don't need like all these, like you don't need mountain bike skills. You can just have your one bike with like a set of tires. You don't need like a full, it's like cheaper. You don't need like all the suspension and all this, like all the fancy equipment that mountain biking requires. So I think that's why it's quite appealing to the masses. And it's also like for the industry, it's like, I think it's a relatively like easy thing for them. Like, oh, like gravel bikes are kind of new. They're still relatively new. Before it was like just purist racing on cyclocross bikes, but now a gravel bike is like a new bike, you know? So I think there's still a lot of development in gravel bikes. Like now we're like, we race suspension forks at Unbound and we're one of the few brands to have a geo-corrected gravel bike, which is like pretty cool, you know? So I think there's like a lot of innovation left in gravel as well. And yeah, I think the mass, like the whole like mass start thing, like they like the amateurs are kind of mixed in with us at some of the events. And I think it's really kind of unique for them. Whereas XCO, it's like the pros would race, then they would race. And I think that might happen eventually in gravel, but right now it's still like,
yeah, isn't there a lot of controversy around that right now?
There is. Yeah. It's mostly on the women's side. Like for the men, like it doesn't really change our race, you know, but on the women's side,
like,
it does become
men, like,
a problem.
Separate. The pro men will just separate pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think
is going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long, you know, I think who knows how long it'll last or if like, but perhaps gravel will inspire more people to try mountain biking too. Like, oh, this is cool. Like what if we ride this?
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe cross, but I think it's just good for off-road riding in general. like of all sorts. Like maybe they try gravel, then they want to try mountain biking. And so yeah, I don't quite know how long it is.
I mean, I think it'll continue to be good because of participation numbers. Like
yeah, for sure.
I mean, let's be real. Like if it makes money, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is the blunt thing. And you have so many people, there's a lot of good vibes and the bikes are getting better and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, road racing kind of died. They're selling fewer licenses. Cyclocross was not as popular. Some, you know, it's not as many people, but like there's so many people doing gravel that it'll continue to be catered to and the thing because it's, you know,
will it get to the way that those other ones though, those got to such a high level that there's so many rules and so many weird things that that's what turns people off from it. Is that what maybe happened to gravel?
But it's going to take a while though. You know,
yeah, because, and then to go back to Keegan's point is like there's so many rules or blah 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 that maybe people aren't digging. Then some other town will be like, well, we got this cool new gravel race, no rules, and then they'll be like, that's sick, we're going to that now.
Yeah,
you know, like it'll probably just keep evolving and people will keep doing it. And if you have the interest, I think if you have the interest and the people buying the bikes, then the marketing departments can, you know, justify the expense of the team or the athletes or, you know, developing a new bike or whatever. And it'll continue to, you know, trend as it has been.
Yeah. But
we'll see like if there's a plateau coming or what. Cause yeah, I mean, even cross was the thing, right? And that's kind of where it was. And before that, road was the thing. So
yeah, that's kind of why I ask, is because I've just been talking to some people and talking to bike shop owners and stuff. And it sounds like gravel bikes aren't moving very quickly anymore. And it seems to be kind of slowing down, at least in Southern California and stuff. And I don't know, I'm not super into the gravel community and stuff. I have a bike and I ride it every now and then, but it's not like not at these races, and continue to see big numbers at these races. Whereas enduro, the numbers for racing are going down, but more people are on the trail bike. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
Same for XC as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's no correct answer. I just was curious on what you
guys
No,
there's a correct answer.
Thank you. Hopefully forever. Hopefully, I mean, all bike stuff.
Just I mean, keeps... for a long enough for you two to just keep winning, right? You know, and
winning all that money. That's all that matters. Until we can retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, daddy can keep getting paid.
Yeah. Are you still got the Supercross fantasy team thing with Pulp or no? Where are you at?
Oh no.
No, just Sophia? Is she out or no?
I didn't even know if she did it this year.
Oh, she didn't even do it this year. Wow.
I think so.
Letting the team down. Neil's gonna be really fucking bummed after hearing that news. All right, cool. Well, thanks you guys for fucking giving us some time.
Yeah, and thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Maybe come back after end of lifetime, talk about it.
Yeah.
Maybe do Gravel World or something. Maybe when you guys both battle it out for single speed championships next year or this year.
Oh, mop the floor with Swenson in a cross race.
I'm in for that. Can we actually go to that? We'll broadcast that one live if you're going to go race at Keegan.
That would be a race.
That would be a fucking race.
That's not a race I would want to do.
Oh, we're just everyone gets GoPros. There we go.
Team tactics could switch.
Yeah.
Barriers and like some
no
flat,
barriers.
But also muddy. No barriers. That's cross.
Oh. Ooh. Oh yeah, the ones on the what you have to jump over. I thought you meant like for the fans.
No. 47.
I want the random fan to get hit.
The big dogs.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put a good word in and we'll broadcast it.
All right, we'll get on
good
the
deal.
Calendar.
Cool. Thank you guys. Make for sure you keep your laptops open so the fucking stream will download. Or I guess for you, Keegan, your iPhone.
Yeah.
Just hit leave.
Just hit leave.
He has to go reply to his friends that have texted him.
Wow.
Instagram DMs first.
Wow. Yeah, maybe me first on that, okay?
I'll reply to Austin first.
Yeah, thank you. Fucking finally. Yeah. Fuck you guys. Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you guys.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Later.
Take care, boys.
All right, man. Shit. Well, now we know everything about Keegan over here and just not even know how to get off. I love it. He's just stuck as we're about to do a wrap up.
Right.
Oh, there's Keegan.
Later.
Later. Now it's just stuck sideways. I love it. Well, that was a good fucking time, huh?
Are we done?
I think we're pretty much done. I mean, the live stream fucking kicked off and stopped working, so this is just going to be an episode 10 for everyone to fucking, you're going to have to get it on Apple. Okay. I love how Keegan's face is just stuck sideways right now looking at us.
Big old smile, too.
It is kind of wild, though. I mean, to me, like, I'm sure you're probably the same, but maybe it's because where we live, but I have no desire to ride gravel.
Yeah, I've been hearing, and kind of the reason why I asked this, I've been hearing that gravel is not in a good position in terms of bike sales and stuff. So it's tough. Most mountain bikers, I think, would rather just ride a mountain bike.
Yeah, totally.
And that's the deal, because on rougher gravel roads like we have here in Southern California or whatever, you can go ride a gravel bike, and sure, it's a decent experience, but when you get to the top of a mountain, it's a
fucking experience when you almost fucking die.
And when you get to the top of a mountain on a gravel road, more often than not, because all of our climbs here in Southern California are fire roads, you have opportunities to go down single tracks that are more gnarly on a mountain bike. And for me, that's more fun. I like gravel bikes. I like doing races like Grinduro and stuff, and I like
pushing the limits. Yeah, but isn't Grinduro a little bit – that's like pushing the limits of it, right?
Yeah, but it's fun to me. I like gravel riding because I feel like I'm riding in like the 80s or 90s or whatever, where you find the limits of the bike super fast, and then you just have to figure out
how
to keep it on.
You have fucking talent on a bike. Me, I do not. I need all the suspension.
Yeah, I get that. But I'm just saying, like, that's why I like it, but I'm curious to see where it'll be in 5 years, because I hope it does.
I wonder that as well. Like, I kind of feel the same way of what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing if you live in Kansas and there ain't shit to fucking ride, gravel's your thing, right?
And it is for the roadie. For a roadie, I would say it's probably more appealing than buying another road bike, and it's a little less daunting than buying a mountain bike, because now you can get off the roads, which is a little safer, and then you get a little different experience and go a different place while still getting the road performance feel.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I hope all bikes just keep selling, but that that at the end of the day is the driver of the industry. Selling. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you mean, but I don't know. To me, gravel, I mean, I get it. Like, I think it's fucking gnarly what they're doing. Anything away from that, but for me, I'm just not a gravel guy.
Athletes. Yeah.
My gravel bike is currently out in the garage, hooked to my Zwift machine, and that's
with two flat tires.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, yeah. I'm wondering why I'm paying still for that membership. I gotta figure that out. But McTubbin, though, cross stories and all that shit, pretty fucking good. I kind of knew that he did a little bit of the crossing. I didn't know how deep he was into it. I don't know about you, if you did or not.
Yeah, I didn't know to what extent he raced stuff at, cyclocross stuff at, but I mean, I've, yeah, known.
Yeah, you've been around the industry, you've seen it, right?
And then, the cyclocross world championship thing, I didn't know he won, but that's super sick. I had known Adam Craig, who rides for Giant, and kind of
he won that as well.
Oh, a few times, yeah. He's got a few, single speed cyclocross championships, and that's how I learned about all the tattoo stuff and all that deal.
So he's got a couple tattoos then, what?
Oh yeah,
really?
For sure. Oh yeah.
Shit.
From that, I think
we should have him on, huh? For sure. We should hit him up. Yeah, I'm gonna blow him up with a text. See what's up.
Building trails on the East Coast nowadays.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's Sugarloaf, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's Sugarloaf or something like that. Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's who we need to have on next. We'll see how many tattoos. Maybe his shorts actually fit him properly, and we can see the tattoos or something.
you
know?
Show them off. Yeah.
Yeah, you could show them off.
That's the roadie in Tobin, wearing the same tight shorts still.
Totally. And you have you lost all your tan lines since you're not riding as much, or what?
They're tan fades, and I'm pretty tan, right? Well, decently tan for me, but
I think you're whiter than me.
Decently tan for me. Yeah, I'm very white.
All right, shit.
But yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. I feel like that's episode a good 10. Episode 10. Yeah, we got some good info on that. Got some cool shit. Get some laughs.
Let's keep these things cranking.
Yeah, seriously.
Get one in next week and keep the ball rolling. I got some ideas for who we can have next too.
Okay.
Craig's one of them, but
yeah, whatever. Hit me up for next week then. Yeah, I'm kind of free. Maybe we'll go shoot some shit.
Yep, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. If everyone's watching, yeah.
New bike coming with Revolt wheels. So.
Oh shit! Fucking went there, didn't they?
Oh,
I've
never
had any. I guess I've had issues with some of the aluminum ones, but all my carbon ones, fucking great. Oh, actually, you know what?
It's fine. Two. They're just puffing their chest with the same stuff. It's
we're gonna do a full review of wheels because now we're basically a full on magazine. So
review test. Know.
Yeah, we're review testers. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Obviously, you can only review specialized. I can review everything else because I'm just, no one wants to sponsor me because I'm slow.
I'm super unbiased.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally right down the line. Just share the credit. all right, you guys. Thank you all for watching. This obviously didn't go so well in the live thing. The fucking, I don't know what happened. It says it's living it right now, but then YouTube's not getting it. So I apologize for everyone that was watching the live and there were some issues, but we're going to upload this sucker. Second up to that, make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube page. And then also we're on Apple Podcast, Spotify. We upload the videos. You can watch them on there. Same as YouTube. And pretty much anywhere you get a podcast, I'm hoping that it's going out to there. And then worst case scenario, dude, just make sure you follow us on Instagram because I have shit for followers. Spencer's almost at 50 and Insider is almost at 200. So fucking get on it. It's going to be, you know, it's like owning land before there was land. You know, I don't know. That's how popular we're going to get. Probably not. But thank you all for listening. Spencer's like, go fuck yourself.
Wrap it up, baby.
We'll wrap it up, baby. All right. Thank you all. Later.